sit here, I'll rest sit here.
Honourable members, we have two items on the agenda. The one which we said, Honourable Minister, is just a regular update. We should take ourselves once of the thought So we just wanted the briefing to tell us if something is happening on the Bassam matter. But the real crux of the matter is the briefing by steps on the quarterly report and the report on the safe space procedure. The report on the safe space procedure speaks for itself. We were very pleased. I think on that one, Minister, we can congratulate you and your team. General Tutola, on that one, no. We are 100% there. Here we saw you everywhere. You guys did not have a place to see it. We did not have a crew. People were on the ground. You had an additional number of people that you deployed. Police were deployed. They were visible. I'm convinced that everything is very, very well done. So, honorable members, you all know that today is again a three-line work, and that because of the three-line work, we are not going to rush through the report, but we all received the report well in advance. I'm not going to expect, honorable minister, Honourable Minister, I'm not going to expect you to be presenting page by page because we received the report well in advance. So we read the report, we have made notes, we'll highlight the concerns. So honourable members, if it keeps slides, it will work my position, because if you see mathematically, it's impossible for us to have 167 slides. Honorable Sir Blanche, I'm sure you agree. You got the document. So you'll highlight the number pages which you are concerned about. 167 pages is going to take us well into the joint house. We want to be done by 1 o'clock. Could we agree on the moment? So instead of focusing on the presentation, can we have more time for discussion and for questions and for response? We have a choice. We can focus on the presentation, or we can focus on questions, responses, and discussion. So for now, could I ask that you do your presentation, Minister, Deputy Minister, you will introduce, General Tutola, you will introduce. You will give us, highlight the areas where there's been non-performance, and highlight the areas where there has been very good performance. But for now, there have been more areas of performance than areas of performance. So, honourable minister, without please, there's been a confusion about the time of it. Some members have 9 o'clock and some members have gone for 9. You got 9:30, but honourable Whitfield is always right. You got 9 and he's always right. Deputy Minister got 9, he's always right. But Minister got off of 9, and he's always right. So I've got a problem. We were last week on the group. People are not reading the WhatsApp group. The WhatsApp group said 9:30. Welcome, beautiful ladies. We saw you at Sona. Were you on the red conference? No, I saw, I see that your social media were looking very good. The cost of the output, when it is downsizing, when the economy is down, why beautiful.
Yes.
That's a contradiction. So, honorable members, please, we are not going to go through every page. Honorable Minister, okay.
Thanks, Chair, the members, Deputy Minister, Mr. Commissioner, and colleagues. I think it's the first time I met you here. Happy 2020. I hope it's not scratched yet. I still have you in the year. The presentation seems to be long, as you have said, that you'll have to run to the house. But you are fine to be back and trying to work harder. I know, Chairperson, that maybe we'll be talking about common things, especially the item of your festive season. But just one point I want to make now. Chairperson, we are having a serious problem as the South African police when it comes to our statistics. The murder. We have a big chunk of murder done by close people to people. For instance, in the Mbombo incident, we lost four kids that were killed by the father. Now, you really don't know how you begin to register that murder, because police could not have been there to look after father killing four kids in the house. So it is one thing that will want to come back and deal with it, especially when it goes to statistics. Maybe remember, it's not just the statistics. In Durban, somebody has been given four lives. In Mpumalanga, this young lady has been given four lives for killing kids. Last week, in Durban, in Berlin, this mother hanged two kids and poisoned two kids. Well, again, it's just a number that is increasing. That would be really difficult to police. We do want to share that with you as we go forward, especially when it comes to this suggestion, what could have been done. That's that. Well, the other one is the question of debate, Chair, the question of women and children. I'm sure we have learned about the lost kid here in Western Cape, an 8-year-old that has been lost. Fortunately, we have found the perpetrator. We haven't found the child. We have found the perpetrator, we have brought him back here to see, to show us where the kid is, whether the kid is alive or not. So those are the questions that we would love to share with you before we start. But the presentation then will be done by the led by the National Commissioner with the embassy of the members that will be putting. Maybe it could be proper that he does tell us who is here first, and the National Commissioner with the team that is leading. On my right is the Deputy Minister that you all know by now, and that we always try to attend the Portfolio Committee. If not, both of us, any one of us should be there just to be part of discussion and deliberation at the Portfolio Committee. I'll hand over to the National Commission. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Minister,
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, the Minister, the Deputy Minister, and the Honorable Members, and as well as my colleagues from both Secretariat and from the Police. Chair, I would just quickly introduce the delegation of the Police that is here. Just through the introduction, they will just make the indication. The first one is Lieutenant General Media, National Head of Ops. Second one is Lieutenant General B.C. Ngwenya, Deputy National Commissioner of Human Resources. Lieutenant General Mvuma, DNC Physical Resources. Lieutenant General Masemula, Deputy National Commissioner of Police. Lieutenant General Tumani, Deputy National Commissioner of Crime Detection. Lieutenant General P.P. Limpane, CFO. Lieutenant General T.C. Musikili, Divisional Commissioner, Detective Service. Lieutenant General M.P. Sembe, Divisional Commissioner, Regional Policy. Lieutenant General P.J. Cross, Divisional Commissioner, Crime Intelligence. Lieutenant General L.B. Divisional Commissioner, Personnel Management. Lieutenant General Khan, Divisional Commissioner, Legal Services. Lieutenant General Mkwana Z, Divisional Commissioner, Operational Response. Major General Reed, Acting Divisional Commissioner, Supply Chain. Major General Ingoka, Acting Divisional Commissioner, Forensic Services. Major General Nelson, Financial Management and Accounting. Major General Rabi, Strategic Management. The last one, Colonel K.P. Spain, the Parliamentary Liaison Management. Chair, as the Minister has indicated, we are going to do a presentation on the report. Then we will also do the presentation on the festive season. Lastly, the just an overview progress on the Lentefier case as directed by Parliament before that we must provide progress. I also want to agree with the Chair that if we could be allowed just to give an overview of a particular program without zooming into the details, so that we don't take a lot of time, I think that would be appreciated. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, General. Before your team starts, Honorable Mofokeng, you are requested to also join the Justice Portfolio Committee. We have received a message, so you are allowed to leave. We do understand that you have to be at that portfolio committee as well. We are very well represented. All the members are here. I noticed that there's just about 2 or 3 who are not here. So, Honorable Mofokeng, you are allowed to be excused when it is convenient for you, when it is required. Thank you, Minister.
Chairperson, for that, I would want to register a problem for us now and again that the cabinet is on. We had to get a special permission to attend from the cabinet. So it does give us problems sometimes as the members of the cabinet. But we thought it's important that we get a request from the side, a permission to come.
Honourable Minister, we have raised this persistently. We have even tried to shift our slot to a Tuesday. We have made an observation that you attend, in terms of the record of attendance of ministers, you are one of the best ministers who will be okay. So, Honourable Minister, if you are as an item on cabinet, we do accept your apology, and even today, if you are required in cabinet, if you are even cabinet, we will accept your need to be excused. The Deputy Minister has been here consistently, very challenging minister, and we'd like to commend the Deputy Minister for what he did all the time. General Story, you may continue.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe you just Chair to make sure we don't create an impression of any sign of disrespecting the committee. We just wanted to make a request via the Chair. After we have compiled and sent the document to the committee, there have been some important developments. But we didn't want to change the document that we have already sent to the committee members. But then we decided that because we think those developments need to be brought to the attention of the committee, that we design an addendum. And that particular addendum is just something separate just to highlight those particular developments. So we just wanted to request for the permission of the chief that we avail and circulate the addendum so that we stick to the original presentation. Thank you, Chair.
General Kutola, honorable members, we know that matters in the police happen all the time, and that comes on a daily basis with changes developing. Could you please stick to the presentation which was circulated? Whatever changes you have made, if you reserve that to the agenda, you can mention it when you do your presentation. The agenda will assist us in having the updated information, because we were going to tell you your information and how to do it in any case. Because I know Honorable Whitfield even tells me that I'm out Sir Blanche is even worse. I don't want to even talk about you and my family. Honorable Majority is also telling me that I must upgrade. I don't know what an upgrade is. Why do you send me messages that I must be upgraded? So the police has upgraded the presentation. You accept that they've made an upgrade. Okay. So your addendum will be allowed, but please don't confuse us. And just give us the pages where you have skipped. Just tell us which page you are on. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. And with your final permission, Major General Leon Ravi is going to lead our presentation. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, honourable members of the committee, good morning. The presentation that I'm going to do now is focusing on the quarterly performance of the South African Police Service, including the indicators that are reflected in our annual performance plan for 2019-2020. There's a total of 132 indicators that we annually have, or quarterly have to report to DPME and oversight bodies, and they are all included in the presentation that we prepared. The way the presentation is structured, the first slide will just provide the committee with an overview of our levels of performance, reflecting on where we've achieved the target and where we did not achieve the target, and this indicating certain indicators that will only be measured at the end of the financial year. Honourable members, the programs are structured according to five financial programs. The first financial program is administration that basically reflects the support capability of the South African Police Service in program two, visible policing. We have visible policing and operational response services. Program three includes the detective service, DPCI and forensic services, Program 4, Crime Intelligence, Program 5, Protection and Security Services, and that includes Presidential Protection Services. At the end of each program, there's a slide that just gives an indication of the spending patterns associated with that program, and then at the end, there's going to be a financial report that talks to overall spending, expenditure analysis, our monthly comparisons, as well as an overview of spending performance. Honourable Chair, if we look at the overall performance of the South African Police Service at the end of quarter three, and just keep in mind that the presentation is based on the preliminary results in terms of the DPME guidelines that we apply, this is now based on the preliminary results for quarter three that is currently in the process of being validated. But we have achieved 78 of the targets, or 59.54% of the targets overall we did achieve, according to the preliminary results. 41 of the targets we did not achieve, they will be indicated in red. And then there are 12 KPIs that we are only in a position to measure at the end of the financial year because of the nature of the activities associated with the specific indicators. On program one, overall, Corbett Chair will note that 13 of the performance indicators were achieved, 14 were not. In program two, there's 9 performance indicators that we did not achieve. In program 24, we did. In program three, there's 23 that we did achieve and 12 not. And program four, crime intelligence, there's 6 indicators that we did not achieve the target and 10 we did. And then in program five, we achieve all the targets that are associated with that program. Focusing on program one, Honourable Chair, and by your direction, skipping the slides where we did achieve the targets and only focusing on the ones that are problematic. If we look at Program 1, the main areas of our concern relates to the information and communication technology environment. You'll note as far as the specific deliverables around infrastructure is concerned, that our target was set that 80% of those deliverables need to be achieved on a quarterly basis. We, in quarter two, only 52% of the deliverables were achieved, and in quarter three, that goes up to 73%, but it's still not the targeted 80%. Honourable members, further in the presentation, you will note specific slides where we are unpacking the problematic areas as far as ICT is concerned. On the information system solution, the deliverables that have been scheduled for the financial year, a similar target applies that 85% needs to be achieved on a quarterly basis. In quarter two, where there was a 55% achievement, it increased to 81% in the third quarter, but it's still below the targeted achievement that we set for the specific financial year. Moving to the establishment figures, we have prioritized areas that we have to develop fixed establishments. This includes your anti-gang capabilities, etc. And the indication is this is one of the areas that we will correct in the addendum. Initially, the indication was that the establishment of these prioritized areas has not yet been finalized, but confirmation has since been submitted that this has since been approved, and we are now able to include it in this specific performance indicator. Moving to slide 21. You will note that in the beginning of the financial year, we targeted a total of 4,089 members of the South African Police Service that needs to be trained or undergo the theoretical training as far as the competency in the utilization of principles and the use of firearms and gun is concerned. And our target was set that 95% of these members need to be trained by the end of the financial year. At this point in time, we are not on target, and all indications are at this point in time we've only managed to train 507 of the members that have been targeted. And as far as the competency levels are concerned, the 91% competency of the 299 people trained after quarter two was achieved, and then we had an 87% competency level out of the 507 people that were trained in the third quarter. So this area is problematic in terms of both the targeted number of people that needs to be trained to undergo the theoretical training. Those are the operational members that still needs to undergo this training. Honourable Chair, then moving to the next slide, IPET-related disciplinary hearings. In terms of legislation, the South African Police Service is required within 30 days after we've received the recommendation from IPET to implement those recommendations. That portion of the requirement we are complying with, but when it comes to the finalization of disciplinary hearings, the requirement is then stated that within 60 days, those disciplinary hearings needs to be finalized. And we have targeted 90%, which we managed in quarter one, and in quarter two it went down to 92%, and then in quarter three we're standing at 86.81%. So that is 79% of the disciplinary hearings that were supposed to be finalized, only 79 out of the 91 that we were dealing with until quarter three were finalized within the prescribed timeframes. Well, I'll tell you, when we move to the next slide, slide number 26, next area of concern is the procurement and distribution of mobile contact points. The South African Police Service targeted 15 mobile points to be procured and distributed in the financial year. Up to this point in time, the procurement of the chassis has been finalized, but the mobile contact points has not yet been converted and distributed as required. If you, just as an example, look at the table below, you will note that in quarter three, our progressive target was 11. So that means by this time, we should have distributed 11 of them already. But unfortunately, we up to now we have not managed to distribute any of the targeted mobile contact points. Bullet resistant vest, our target is, Honorable Chair, that relative to the demand for bulletproof vests, that we must meet 100% of that demand within each one of the quarters. So whatever the demand is that has been received, it needs to be supplied 100%. Members of the Honorable Members will note that in the three quarters in question that we have not been able to meet that specific requirement in terms of, if I can quote the figure in the quarter three, the total demand at that point in time was 8,159, of which the Traffic and Police Service was able to distribute 7,664. One of the reasons contributing to that point was the difficulty that we had to get bulletproof vests in certain sizes for the purpose of addressing or distributing it in relation to the demand. The SAPS firearms lost or stolen. Honorable Chair, we set a target to reduce the loss of SAPS firearms with 5%. That means not exceeding 605 in the current financial year. You know that the statistics as it is reflected, our progressive target in the table indicates that if we want to achieve that target, we should not exceed 453 firearms lost in quarter three. That's by means of an equal distribution. Now, at that point in time, at the end of quarter three, we were standing at 513 firearms that were lost or stolen. So indications are, unless we are not able to down manage this drastically in quarter four, that we might see an increase in the number of SAPS firearms either lost or stolen. But the final figure we will only be able to confirm once the annual report is compiled. But it is a risk area at the moment, and as I indicated, we might see an increase. Honourable Chair, the next couple of slides, I'm now on slide 29, relate specifically to the information and communication technology commitments. And the majority of the ones that I'm going to address now are problematic, and there are various reasons contributing to that, which I believe the business owner will explain as well, that relates to contracts, internal processes, etc. Looking at the specific targets that we set, first of all, we committed to 112 high sites. That is as far as digital radio communication infrastructure is concerned. We targeted 112, and according to our quarterly estimates and targets, we were supposed to be at 71 of these finalized at this point in time. We are currently standing at 21 of the sites that has been finalized. So all indications are that we will not achieve the target unless, as I indicated with the others, in the last quarter of the financial year, actions are implemented to mitigate the current risk. But it's an area that we are at risk at the moment. National network communication infrastructure sites, we've targeted a total of 240 wide area network sites to be modernized and implemented, and 180 local area network sites. This is on page 30. So at the targeted results, we look at quarter three, on which the progressive target, according to our plans, we were supposed to be at 240 at this point in time, but we only managed to do 5 of the sites that have been targeted. Looking at closed circuit television, a total of 129 sites were identified within the financial year, and they were spread over as indicated with our quarterly targets, and our target for quarter three was to be at 81 at this point in time. Up to now, none of the sites in terms of CCTV has realized that we initially included in the plans. And as I indicated, the problems, I believe, will be explained in more detail by the business owner, but it relates in this case as well to issues around contracts, etc. Remotely piloted aircraft systems, or commonly known as drones, over Chair, the South African Police Service targeted procurement for prioritized areas, a total of 10. Remotely piloted aircraft systems, and at the end of quarter three, our target was that at least 6 of these should have been procured and distributed to the relevant environments. up to now, at the end of quarter three, we have not yet managed to procure any of the remotely operated pilot aircraft systems as it is indicated. Again, the same principles or the same the same explanations apply that I've already mentioned around the issues around procurement processes and the relevant contracts. Then case management capabilities, that refers, Honourable Chair, to the system that we use within the South African Police Service. We've identified a total of 18 sites where we were supposed to implement the ICDMS system, the Integrated Case Docket Management System. That is the system that the South African Police Service use for the purpose of capturing our crime and then also logging activities that relates to progress with the investigation on the ICDMS system. We at this they were targeted to be completed in the last quarter of the current financial year, and at this point in time, at the end of quarter three, we've managed one of the 18 sites, but the rest of them are scheduled in quarter four. So it is an area that we need to be concerned about, but it needs to be determined at the end of the financial year whether all these sites has been delivered and implemented as we've indicated. implementation of the modernized incident management capabilities, that is now specifically with regard to our 10111 centers. On slide 34, which we've identified six 10111 centers that had to be equipped with the modernized incident management capabilities, and they were spread to be three of them to be completed in quarter three and another three of them in quarter four. The same as the previous one, at this point in time, none of the sites that has been identified has been completed as indicated in and committed to in our annual performance plan. AVL, slide 35, the installation of modernized incident management capabilities as far as the vehicles are concerned, or the monitoring equipment that we want to install in our vehicles. A total of 16,200 vehicle monitoring units were targeted. At the end of quarter three, our target was to finalize half of that, 8,100, and the second half in quarter four. And at the end of quarter three, we were not able to install the AVL capabilities in the vehicles that has been prioritized. The previous slide, Oliver Cheddar, talks to the 10111 centers as well as AVL relates to contract-related issues that needs to be addressed by the department. On slide 36, the PIBA, or the Person Management Capabilities, Chair, that one we've addressed. So there we achieved the target. In terms of the internal audit plan, at this point in time, we should have completed 97% of the audits. We are just a little bit behind schedule. They have concluded 85 of the audits as far as the internal audit, the audit plan for the financial year is concerned. I would say those conclude the areas, the so-called red areas, or the areas that we are at risk as far as program one is concerned. The last slide on this just talks to the spending patterns, and I'm just going to hand over to General Timpane to just take you through this slide on the spending for program one.
Honorable Chair, in relation to program one, the slide is indicating a total of allocation of 20 billion. As of end of December, we had utilized 14.5 billion, which represents 1% against the linear benchmark of 25%. The revenue, we had a slightly reduced spending on travel and assistance, reduced spending on compensation, catering, the needs of facilities, environment. And we also experienced lower training on different work in the building environment and the amount of the building separated here. As at the end of December, we in attention to 25% that were indicated to the lower spending, lower spending, which is focused on the selection.
Honourable Chair, thank you. That concludes program one. I'm not sure, Honourable Chair, if you want me to continue with the rest of the programs or you want to deal with the program first.
You please take us through the presentation and then we'll take it.
Well, Chair, thank you. The next financial program is visible policing, and this primarily focuses on the activities of our visible policing capability as well as the activities of the ORS. Now, I will follow the same principle on the Chair that I will focus only on the areas that are problematic at the moment. And as far as the first slide is concerned, although it is indicated in green, if we look at overall serious crime, that includes the crimes that the South African Police Service are monitoring, if we look at the target, it's indicated in green, but what we had to do is we had to adjust the target. We recently submitted an addendum to the committee where we indicated, following the announcements that were made by the President and our Minister, we had to reduce our targets. Now, unfortunately, the contact, although they only referred to serious or violent crime or contact crime, it impacts on serious crime as well. Now, that means, as far as this slide is then concerned, at this point in time, in line with the additional target that we set of 2%, we were achieving the target, but after the adjustment that will be reflected in the addendum, the target went up to 3.7% reduction. That means that we are then also not achieving the target as far as reported serious crime is concerned. CPS, we are fully functioning. Then slide 44, reported contact crimes. Initially, Oliver Chair, the target was set at a reduction of 2%. That has since been revised, and it will be reflected in the addendum where we need to achieve a reduction of 6.7% per annum. Now, that actually does not change the situation as it is reflected on the slide. It is still in red. As far as contact crime is concerned nationally, we are experiencing increases as it is reflected with a 0.8% increase in the reported incidents at the end of the third quarter. The number of contact-related crimes, Honourable Chair, this includes two crimes. It is arson and malicious damage to property. That target was to reduce it with 2%. At the end of the third quarter, we were standing at a reduction of 3.7%, so there we are achieving the target. Sorry, ma'am, now I'm explaining one that is in green. Let me move to the red ones. The high crime areas, we are also focusing on 30 identified high crime weight stations. Now, initially on slide 48, you will note that we've indicated the achievement as green because the target that at that point in time was 2% reduction at the 30 high crime weight stations. Now, this also needs to be adjusted to red because the target needs to be adjusted in line with the national one that takes it up to a 3.7% reduction. And that will bring us, as far as the 30 high crime stations are concerned, on par in quarter three with the targeted reduction. The same applies to, on slide 49, the reported contact crimes at high crime weight stations. The same principle applies. The target was set at a reduction of 6.7%. Initially at 2%, it's been adjusted to 6.7%. At the end of quarter three, taking the trimester into consideration, we've noted an increase of 0.6% in violent or contact crime at these identified high crime stations. The number of stolen and lost illegal firearms that has been recovered, on the chair, we targeted a total of 5,404 illegal firearms to be recovered by the South African Police Service. At the end, Honourable Chair will note that we will not be achieving the target. It's taking into account the figures that are reflected there. We did an adjustment on the slide here, Honourable Chair. The last quarter, the 1935, if I remember correctly, should actually read 2,600. It was just a typo on the slide itself, but it doesn't unfortunately change the situation. We are not achieving the targets as far as the recovery of firearms is concerned. The similar principle, Honourable Chair, as far as the recovery of robbed and stolen vehicles are concerned, We targeted a total of 36,548 vehicles to be recovered. In terms of the progressive target over the financial year, at the end of quarter three, we were supposed to be at 27,411. We are currently at 25,048. So if the same pattern persists, the indications are that at the end of the financial year, we will not be able to achieve the target in terms of the recovery of robbed and stolen vehicles. The issuing of firearm licenses, the target that is relevant to this performance indicator on the chair is that within 19 working days, an application needs to be finalized. And we are targeting 90% of the applications that we receive. We are currently standing at, it was 79%, it went up to 84% in quarter two, and it went down to 82.63% in quarter three again. So we are not achieving the target of 90% of those applications to be finalized within the working days. And the indications are also that we will most probably also not achieve this as far as the financial year is concerned. As far as Alpha Bravo and Charlie complaints are concerned, these Alpha complaints refer to complaints where suspects are on the scene. That's the more serious complaints. It's a crime in progress suspect on the scene. Our target is, as far as a national average is concerned, to attend to those complaints within 17 minutes and 37 seconds. We managed to achieve that in quarter 1 and 2, but in quarter 3, there was an increase to 18.04 minutes. So it's a there's around about half a minute increase in our reaction time on average attending to crimes in progress where suspect is on the scene, but we have not been achieving the targets, and there are a couple of reasons that is contributing to this. Amongst others, is there was an increase in the number of complaints that we had to attend to through quarter three, but also the issues of load shedding that had an impact on the systems and the everything in the environment that we can have an impact on our ability to attend to complaints within the agreed time frames. Bravo complaints, similar situation on the chair, where we targeting a total of 21 and a half minutes to attend to a Bravo complaint. A Bravo complaint is a crime that has been committed, it's finished, but the suspect is no longer on the scene. Now, we achieved our target of below 21 and a half minutes in quarter 1 and 2, but in quarter 3 it went up to 22 minutes and 24 seconds, and the same reasons that I've just explained apply to that as well. And the same applies on the Charlie complaints. Charlie complaints are the, if I may refer to them as a serious complaint, it's a committed crime, attempted crime, and the suspect is no longer on the scene. The victim-friendly services, on which the target is that 100% of all our police stations must provide a victim-friendly service. Just note, on which I'm not referring to facilities. In this case, it is with reference to the services that needs to be provided. Now, in quarter one, all of our police stations have achieved the target, and then three new police stations were established that took us up to 1,154, and those victim-friendly facilities are in process to be established, services. So the prediction is, on which that we might, or that we, in all probability, will achieve this target by the end of the financial year. Okay, then I'm moving to the second part of the operational response environment. Now, this includes your border control as well as our specialized capabilities. As far as this portion or the sub-program is concerned, we've achieved all the targets, all the incidents were responded to, all the identified hits were executed, and everything in this sub-program is currently green. The last part of the last slide, I was just asking Pani again to just do a reflection on the spending portions for Program 2.
Program 2 was fairly in line with the benchmark. As at the end of December 2019, out of a total of 9.9 million, we had utilized 6.2 million. There are factors that affected this particular benchmark. We had in country parliamentary interventions were identified. That's where you see specialized interventions having strengthened 6.9. We also, vehicle delivery procedures won't realize mainly in the latter part of the financial year. And then we also had lower spending for facilities in public environment, mainly due to the fact that invoices from public works were a little bit delayed. The invoices of October, November, December were not received at that particular point in time. But this particular program is still in the new arrangement. Thank you.
The next program is Program 3. As I indicated, Program 3 includes the activities of our detective service, the DPCI, and forensic services. It starts on slide 78. Now, in summary, Honourable Chair, the areas that we are at risk at the moment as far as the detective service is concerned is primarily the detection rate that is associated with certain categories of crime. Now, just as an explanation, what we mean with the detection rate, it is the percentage of dockets that we are investigating that it either goes to court or it is withdrawn by the prosecutor, nolle prosequi, before court, or it is found to be false or unfounded. Now, for serious crime, our target was set at a detection rate of 41.1%, and that is, we have not achieved the target. We are currently standing at 36.59, and it went down to 36.15 in the third quarter. Sorry, my apologies, the target was amended to increase it to 37.50. The initial strategic target was 41.1, but agreement was reached with the previous portfolio committee that we adjust those targets. But despite the adjustment, we are currently not achieving the adjusted target of 37.5%. As far as trial ready is concerned, within the different categories on which we are achieving the targets, trial ready refers to the percentage of dockets that are in the court system that are considered to be ready for trial, and the target varies normally between 80% and 90% for the various categories, but there are no problems as far as the trial ready rate is concerned. Detection rate for contact crime, our target was set at 56%. We achieved 50.28% in quarter two, and that went down to 49.21% for contact crimes. So contact crimes, again, obviously that includes what we also refer to as violent crimes or crimes against the person. Detection rate for crimes committed against women, 18 years and above, the target was we achievement of 75.1% detection rate on those identified crimes, which includes murder, attempted murder, sexual offences, assault common, and assault GBH. At the end of quarter three, we were standing at 73.63%. Honourable Chair, at the time when we compiled the presentation, you will note that we do not have a result for quarter three. We had an audit outcome on the crimes against women and children where we had to review the process of extracting the data from the system. And that process has not yet been concluded at the time when we were preparing the presentation, but within the next week or two, we will be able to provide that result. But it unfortunately doesn't change the situation. We are not achieving the target. We are below the target at 75% detection rate for crimes against women. The same applies for detection rate for crimes committed against children, 18 years and younger, or below. Under 18 years for the same types of crimes, murder, attempted murder, sexual offences, common assault and assault GBH. Our target is to have a detection rate of 70%. We are standing at 68.42. At the worst standing in quarter one, it went down to 68.20. The same explanation applies as was given to the previous one. We are just validating the performance in line with the recommendations that were made by AGSA during the interim audit process. Honourable Chair, the next area that we are at risk is on slide 90. We are still dealing with the detection rate. As I indicated to you, that's primarily where the problem lies. If we look at the detective service environment, this includes other serious crime, theft, fraud, etc. And our target was set at 36.8%. We were standing at 35.86% at the end of quarter three. So the indications are that we are at risk as far as this area is concerned and might not achieve the target at the end of the financial year. I would say the next the area goes as far as DPCI is concerned. I'm still dealing with violent conduct. That is part of the detective service. Then on slide 94, the detection rate, still problematic, targeting the 30 high crime weight stations, similar to what we did in program 2 for visible policing. I'm now on slide 94. We set a target to increase the detection rate of contact crime or serious crime at these stations to 37.65%. We were at 32.33% in quarter 2. It went down to 31.85%. So it's also most likely or highly likely that we will not achieve the target as far as the detection rate for serious crime at the priority stations are concerned. The same applies, Honourable Chair, on slide 96 to the detection rate for contact crime at the 30 high crime weight stations. It went up to 39.32% in quarter 2, and in quarter 3 it went down to 38.6%. So indications are in terms of the trends that it's highly likely that we will also not achieve this target. This one we did achieve. Then from slide 99, and this is one of the slides that we've amended, that we in the addendum or the adjustment that we're going to submit, Honourable Chair, we will explain what the adjustments that we made on these specific slides. The first area there is on slide 105, cybercrime investigative support case files that have been successfully indicated. Our target was set at 55% of the case files to be successfully finalized. At the end of quarter three, it was 47.54% in quarter two and 38.10%, so a total of 16 out of 42 case files as far as cybercrime is concerned that was successfully investigated. Okay, as far as that one is concerned, that was the only area that is problematic within DPCI. Now we are dealing with the forensic services environment, and the first slide is on page 111, where we refer to the backlog. As far as forensic exhibits are concerned, our target is that we should not have a backlog that exceeds 10% of the registered case exhibits that we have received. The backlog at the end of quarter three was standing at 21.63% with the figures that are quoted, and it can be attributed to some of the explanations that we will give in some of these slides that will follow. Also problematic is the percentage or the updating of our results of trial on our relevant systems as far as the guilty verdicts are concerned. And our target is that 95% of these results of trials must be updated within 20 calendar days. We are currently standing at 91.32% updated within the prescribed time frame. That is now below the target of 95%. The same applies, Honourable Chair, to on slide 113, the updating of result of trials as far as not guilty verdicts are concerned. Target is 95%. We were standing at 83% in quarter 3, and it went up to 88.94% in quarter 3. The previous one is quarter 2, but it's still below the set target of 95%. The percentage of routine case exhibits finalized. The target is that 75% of routine case exhibits must be processed within 35 calendar days. We are standing at we at 70.818% in quarter two. It went down to 61.28% in quarter three with the figures that are quoted there. So we are not achieving the target of 75%. The non-routine case exhibits, where we deal with multiple exhibits within a single case, the target is set that it must be processed within 113 calendar days. 70% of that, we are standing at 87% at the quarter three, so there we are achieving the target. The IBIS intelligence case exhibits, Honorable Chair, 95% of our IBIS case exhibit entries is supposed to be finalized within 35 calendar days. We were achieving the target in quarter one and two, standing at 99.81%, and the performance dropped to only 50.53% in quarter three. As a result of the explanation that will be given after my presentation by the relevant environments. The same trend, Honourable Chair, we see as far as DNA intelligence case exhibits are concerned. Our target is that 80% of DNA intelligence exhibits must be processed within 90 calendar days. We did achieve 93% in quarter one, then it dropped to 74% in quarter two, and they dropped further to 19.97% in quarter three. And this can primarily be attributed to consumer, the non-availability of consumables to run the technology that is required to do the analysis. Robert Chair, then I will just hand over to General Stampani for the expenditure.
The rate was below a linear benchmark, mainly as a result of low spending on CJS at forensic laboratories as well as criminal records centers. The conditions that were initially imposed by National Treasury were suspended during the adjustment in October 2019. Out of a possible 19.2 billion at the end of December, the program had spent 13.6 billion, which was equivalent to 1.1%. Vehicle deliveries, as usual, still to realize, mainly in the latter part of the financial year. And then for DTCI, the amount is earmarked and spending is on course. Thank
you. Robert Chair, the next program is program four. The areas that we are currently at risk, the first one is on slide 123. That is, we are targeting that 100% of the requests that we receive from Interpol needs to be addressed and finalized. In the three quarters, if we look at the figures that are quoted there, the 8.33 in quarter two, only one of the 12 that was received were finalized, and in quarter three, eight of the nine. So here, at the moment, we are not achieving the target as far as responding to requests from Interpol is concerned. The security clearances finalized, our target was set that in this financial year, 1,154 to be finalized within the financial year. We are currently standing at 65.95%. So it's not it's a marginal deviation, Honourable Chair. We are supposed to be at 75%, but it is an area of concern. But we believe with the necessary proactive measures, we will be able to achieve the target of the 1154, as it is indicated in the target as far as security clearances are concerned. The next area that is problematic is the operationalization of our intelligence reports. We focus on two categories of reports, proactive intelligence reports and reactive intelligence reports. Our target is set that at provincial level that 80% of those intelligence reports needs to be operationalized for the purpose of conducting operations. We are currently standing at 77%. It went to 73% in quarter two, but it's increased to 77.8% in quarter three. The next one that is problematic is on slide 132. This one relates to reactive intelligence reports, that relates to investigation, where the previous one was more preventative of nature. Our target is set at 80% of the reports to be operationalized. It went to 69.92% in quarter two, but Honourable Chair, we just missed the target in quarter three. So if you look very carefully, it's almost green. I think we short 0.2% or 0.02% to achieve the target as far as operationalization of reactive intelligence reports are concerned. At national level, this target of 90% of the reports that are generated at national level to be operationalized, it, at the end of quarter three, we were standing at 72.44% and 86% in quarter two. So this is also an area at risk at the moment where we might, if we do not prevent the necessary required actions, we'll most probably not achieve the targets. As far as Interpol is concerned, the specific problematic areas talks to types of requests that are received from Interpol, and as I indicated, Honourable Chair, we in quarter two and quarter three, we did not attend to all the requests that we received from Interpol as it is reflected, and that is the reason why we're not achieving that specific target. Financial?
Program 4. Before you continue,
I just want to know, why would you not express concern about the security risk and vetting assessment conducted? Because performance-based
Chair, our request that we allow them to finish so that we can be able to compare all the data that the honourable member is raising. Can we do that? We are all in agreement. Please continue.
Program 4 was relatively in line with the union benchmark, but vehicle delivery as usual to realize in the latter part of the financial year. There was also additional investment that was made in relation to vetting functionality. As at end of December, out of a possible 4 billion, the program had spent 3 billion, which was 7.4%. Thank you, sir.
The last program, Protection and Security Services, in this environment we have two capabilities and two sub-programs. The one is our division, Protection and Security Services, and Presidential Protection. They are primarily concerned with the protection of VIPs as well as static protection, and then the auditing of certain your national key points, etc. But Oliver Chair, as far as all the targets are here are concerned, we are achieving the targets, and there's no specific areas of concern that we would like to highlight except for the expenditure at the end of the program.
Program 5 is a sub-program. As at end of December, out of a possible 3.1 billion, we had utilized 2.6 billion, which was 83.1 billion. Mainly, this was affected by the regrading of the critic and those sector groups, which realized increased compensation in terms of expenditure. Then I'll run the committee through in terms of the overall performance in relation to quarter number 1, 2, 3 in relation to expenditure analysis. On slide 147, we just wanted to indicate that although indicative of nature, the expenditure of each quarter in the financial year will not be precisely equal caused by reason such as delivery of vehicles and other equipment, invoices from BTW, payment of fee progression, etc., as I have already indicated on the previous slide. On slide 148, Chair, the total spending for the vote at the end of December was at 72.4%, with the remainder of 27.6%. For quarter number 1, we had spent 24.1%, quarter number 2, 23.8%, quarter number 3, 24.5%, with the remainder of 27.6%. The next slide is just a comparison in terms of the expenditure trends for the previous financial year. compared to the financial year. For quarter number one, we have spent 22.5%. Quarter number two, 25.5%. Quarter number three, 24.9%. With 25.9% at the end of the quarter. Slide 152 is a four-year analysis in terms of comparison of monthly spending from 2016 to 2020. We just wanted to indicate that the expenditure trends are more or less the same from 2016 to 2017 when we compared to 1920. So this is just an analysis which indicates that the expenditure trends are almost the same. In terms of the next slide, we have got summary in terms of all the programs. For program one, there was 20 billion, 20.4 billion that was allocated. As I indicated, at the end of December, we had utilized 71% of that amount. For program two, we had 49.9 billion that was allocated. As of December, we had utilized 72.6%. Program three, we had 19.2 billion that was allocated. As of December 2019, we had utilized 1.1%. For program 4, out of a possible 4 billion that was allocated, we had utilized 5.4%. For program 5, we had utilized 83.1%. In total, the department had utilized 2.4% as of the end of December, compared to a linear benchmark of 9 months of the financial year, which is 25%. The following slides are just indicating the quarters in terms of program 1. We are on slide 155. Program 1, adjusted estimate, as I indicated, for quarter number 1, we had spent 24%. Quarter number 2, we had spent 23%. Quarter number 3, we had spent 23.6% with a remainder of 28.3%. Slide number 156, program 2. For quarter number 1, we had spent 23.8%, quarter number 2, 24.24%, quarter number 3, 24.8%, with a remainder of 27.4%. For program 3, quarter number 1, we had spent 23.2%, quarter number 2, 23.8%, with quarter number 3, 24.1%, with a remainder of 28.9%. Program 4, at the first quarter, we had spent 24.9%, second quarter 25%, third quarter 25%, with a remainder of 24.6% for quarter number 4. Program 5, for quarter 1, we had spent 24.9%, quarter number 2, 25%, quarter number 5, 25%, with a remainder of 24.6%. Overview on slide 160, compensation of employees, actual spending for the period comprised of 24.4% of allocated budget and slightly lower than the 25% linear benchmark. We, at that particular period, we still needed to pay equalization of salaries with effect from 1 July 2019. Grade progressions of 30 lower ranks still had to go through. Post promotion is effective from 1 October 2019, as well as further implementation of housing allowance extended to South East. Spending of goods and services on page 161 comprises of 58% of allocated budget. And the main reason was that the criminal justice system region spending was lower than the linear benchmark. This amount was also reduced in conditions were suspended by National Treasury in the adjusted estimate. We had challenges in terms of few invoices that were not submitted on time by public works at the end of December. So October, November, December invoices were still not received. That resulted in the impact with regards to slow spending on open services. Transfers and subsidies were slightly higher than the linear benchmark, essentially influenced by tourist units that were paid as that particular period. Payments for capital assets comprised of 1.6%, mainly as a result of machinery and equipment historical things and which is like the same injury in the latter part of the time itself, and very often don't take place at that particular point. Buildings and infrastructure were also lower than expected. I will not repeat slide 152, which is anything to say, and 153 to say, and then touch on the slide, as and when you will be able to open.
Thank you very much. Regarding the first presentation, this is how far we can go. We can listen to questions of the direction of the call. Thank you.
Honorable members, would you like your questions now and do the second presentation after the question now?
Yes.
Agree? Could I start taking hands now? All the hands are up. Could I go from which side should I start today? Over came or working? Which content is right? On the one more. I'm going to start with you because you made the meeting. And then from this side, on the bush and on the one more. Start with you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think we'd like to thank you for the presentation. And yeah, thank you so much, but there are a few things that we have to get right and to understand. I would like to actually congratulate you on the, I think it's the older public service where the training was actually done, and I look for the target. Most of the targets have been achieved in there. But now going to slides that are actually a little bit disturbing, and I will need a clearance or a clarity on that, is that when you look at the, I think it's slide 16, on the policing and detective services. You are showing that the annual target of 97% is of 6,785, and I'm thinking that is an annual one. But then going down, you look at the first quarter, it says 98.10%, and it comes in 1,741, and then the second one is 3,422. And then the third quarter it will be 458. And I'm asking this because there's no consistency in the way you are doing your figures and reporting. Somewhere you find that you don't have numbers, you only have a percentage. That is actually very confusing. And the example is on the bullet, it should be slide number, let me know, I think. Okay, I think slide 27. You are just showing the 100%. You are not giving us the real figure, that what is supposed to be the figure for the annual. You are saying that the first quarter, it was 3,893, and then the second quarter is 5,501, and the last one becomes 768,664. And you are saying the demand was of 8,159. So what was the initial one? Was it 10,000 or was it what? So that I can be able to say you have achieved your target. And it's actually very worrying for me because still you are not doing well in this because this is one of the demands that are there on the ground. Now when you go to the closed circuit television, it's slide number 31, your annual target is 129. And today it's 45 estimated. Maybe you can explain to us what are the challenges, because those are the things that will be assisting us in policing to can actually be able to help. The other issue that you raised is also about the piloted, remotely piloted aircraft system, that you are not getting anything going. Can you explain to us what are the challenges? Is it your service that you must procure, or what is that, so that we can be able to measure you on the challenges you are having? I will would need to also know more about the number of prioritized sites implemented with modernized incident management capabilities on the 10th of one. And just to explain that on the quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, and I just don't see anything. I just see 0-0. Does it mean it's 100%? Are you leaving or what? So that I can understand what does it mean. But what I can also tell you is that on 135 slides, that on the vehicle monitoring unit, you are not doing what? To date, you have just done only 8,100, which is almost half of the annual quarter, performance, because other performance, quarter one and two, you didn't do anything. And then one is wondering whether you're going to be able to can achieve on the other ones that are coming. Chair, I want to leave for other people to can also do that. I think that on the prescription of civil criminal matters, sexual offences amendment bill, that the police made comments on that. But then I have a question that is worrying me, that you said you have the, I think it's a victim empowerment, the percentage of police stations rendering victim-friendly services. You were saying that you are doing well. But one is saying you are doing well on what? Because you don't have a facility. If you have a desk, it's desk of who? Who is that person trained or not? Because to be honest, on the ground, you are not doing well. You go to police stations, these victim empowerment centers are not there. And one would ever will even go further as you look at the bill that is there to say on your input there are many things that are lacking. Do you have trained officers in this regard? The answer is no, because we don't even know how many police officers are abusers themselves. That is where it's a problem. Then go to the issue of the detection rate for crimes committed against children under the 18 of 18. I think this, I'm glad that Minister and Deputy Minister, they are both here. On what the issue of the President raised, that you know, there will be cases that will have to be reopened. And it's a fact that when you look at the issue that I raised about the victim-friendly services, is that now a number of adults are coming that have been abused or molested years ago. And the question is, do we have capacity? Do we have police officers that are ready to be tackling on this? Because at the moment you'll be saying that they will be providing whatever service that you say, but are we going to be coping in this? Because it can be good intention, but it might come up with a unintended consequences of people will be saying that we are not getting any joy out of there. Chairperson, on slide 121, that they are talking about percentage of security risk and vetting assessment conducted. And I'm going to actually to take this one together with the one of it's on vetting, and it's also on, it's really disturbing because on the vetting you're not doing well, and one is asking what kind of police officers are we having that we don't know whether the vetting has been done enough. And it goes also on the clearance, you know, percentage of security clearance finalized. That is also a question that one wants to know. What is the problem there? Are you using internal services or are you using an external service so that we can know? And these are some of the things that if you have an internal body, an internal services, or the skill has been transferred, you are supposed to be flying in this matter. And I think that clarity will help me. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Nick. Honorable Mansani, Shimbeni.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just wanted to check on the issue of border control. The issue of the heat, I think I'm not satisfied there, because I've seen that seemingly they say it's 100%, but the border control, the issue of the heat, that's very important. Because now, here we've got a problem of passports. People carrying passports that does not belong to them. And then you find that those passports are being endorsed by the immigration officers. And then it hits now in the SABS office that there is somebody who's wanted. And you find that the person is not there. What are we doing about that? I've got cases that I'll refer to on this one, but not long. And then the next one, it will be the issue of the reaction time. Because now 20 minutes to react, it's a lot of time. Because now we are looking at why are we having police stations in each and every village or cars in each and every sector. If we are having cars in each and every sector that will attend to complaints, it cannot take 20 minutes for a complaint to be attended. So why are we not having cars, enough cars in each and every sector? If we are having satellite police stations, why are we not having enough vehicles in those satellite police stations? And another thing, communication. You find out that some satellite stations don't have radio communications and cell phones, official cell phones. You want to phone an officer who's out there who's using his cell phone or her cell phone. And that's why they don't answer, because they are busy with their things. But an official cell phone will be answered immediately. So why are these people not having official cell phones? Why radio communications? It's not working in those stations. Thank you.
Mr. President, thank you. Dear President, I have obviously a lot of questions and I'll try to summarize that.
No, you can take your question.
No, but I'm trying to say that so far the problem is off. I will summarize it. Dear President, first of all, let me also acknowledge and thank the police and the minister and the representative for the presentation. I think that we have Minister Crocker for excellence. We have. You know, one such a place is, I think, finance. You know, they were reporting very definitely, you know, the expenditure and stuff like that, and apparently we are sort of on track with expenditure. Dear person, then, regarding the personnel issues, just two questions. I see that we don't manage to submit timely. Only 70% of people's applications if they apply to go on pension. And you know, obviously people, the other day we were approached by a person battling to, you know, to get the pension money after a really long summer. I just want to mention that, and maybe that should be attended to. Chair person, the training, quite a few people were found not to be competent. And my question is, what happens to people like that? What are happening to them? Incompetent now, they are supposed to be operational members, and what are you doing now with incompetent people in that environment? This is something that I want. Chairperson, I think they are not, their cases apparently they can't deal with all of them. In this very week we received complaints about people that are seriously concerned about, you know, the reason that IFAD are not attending to all cases reported to them. That is just something, Minister, that, you know, obviously National Commission cannot do that. That is something that we can maybe ask that you need to do. Chairperson, then if I go to the support services environment, and I'm glad to see General Rivia, and I hope that he's going to bring some change there, because at the moment Minister Armstrong is concerned. I'm surprised that you are so calm sitting there. Really, this is not a good story at all. You know, if you go through this documentation that we did, very low percentages achieved. In many instances, the columns are empty, nothing. And, you know, obviously this is the case in many instances up to, right from the beginning, from the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, nothing achieved, nothing. And my question is then, to you, National Commissioner, obviously you must see this. And what intervention has to take? We cannot be satisfied. This is a bad story. To be honest, this is a very bad story in the support services environment. General Rick, I hope you will make a difference there. Chairperson, that is, you know, all the stuff in that environment, mobile contact points, bulletproof vests, not all of them have been delivered. And, you know, obviously the people that don't have these vests now, what about them? What are you doing with them? Are they sitting around in the charge of the snow because you can't deploy them? Firearms lost. You know, if you just think about it, we are currently happy with a target of 605 firearms that we can lose in any given financial year. Yo, can it really be true that we can be satisfied with something like that? And then we are aiming for 5% the thing that we don't achieve. We don't even achieve that. It's terrible. The communication, radio communication, closed circuit television, even the drones, it's modern technology and we don't manage to buy them. There's a serious problem, Minister, in that environment. Very serious. getting to case management. All the targets, and I know that the presenter has focused on the areas that we are at risk. He mentioned that many times. But if you go through this whole list that he gave us, I mean, serious crime, we're not going to achieve the target contact crimes, and so the list goes on and on. We are not achieving what we set out to do, Minister. And you know, we were confronted with the crime stats, and we made very good promises, and you know, even the state president made certain promises. Once again, we are not going to achieve this job. So I am seriously concerned, Chairperson, and I really want to appeal to this committee that we convey our concerns to this department, and that they need to look into that. And maybe they need to come back to us at some stage and tell us what their plans are, what interventions are they going to take to make a difference in this, all this environment. Visible policing, as I said already, a lot of stuff not achieved. Detective services, the detective detection rate. Now the trial ready cases, that is quite interesting. 80 to 90% trial ready. My question should be, what is the quality of that docket submitted to the court for prosecution? Because obviously, successful prosecution rests or is dependent on a proper investigated docket that proves the prima facie case in that docket. 80 to 90%, and then you know that the conviction rate is so low. I have also serious concerns here that this can be the case. Crimes against women and children, forensic backlog, DNA. You just mentioned a chairperson, the police as an organization, Minister, is not performing. Sorry, but they are not performing. The only environment, and then I'm done saying this, and really, you know, fortunately I took my tablet with me. The only environment that they achieved their targets, and I'm not surprised about that, is within protection of them. I'm not protection. Can you believe it? Protection services, no problem. Firearm licenses, not achieved. I raised my case to a person, but I want to express my serious concern, and I ask this committee to take this as serious as this. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Allow me to thank the police service for the presentation and perhaps start on a positive note for the first time, or for a change. I'd like to just commend the South African Police Service for the summer season safety program. The interactions I had with most, not all, but with most police officers was positive. They were visible and present. And it almost felt like they were following me, and I thought I was following them. But they were certainly present everywhere I went. So, Minister, thank you very much. I'm sorry that you didn't have leave, but it was hopefully well worth it in terms of the achievements that were made during that period. I also want to thank the National Police Commissioner and his office. I wrote a letter, and this was certainly a first. I wrote a letter on one day this year, and the next day I had a response acknowledging receipt, and I will be following up. But on that point, it relates to a police station in Jeffreys Bay, which speaks to one of the indicators or targets there, which is the CPFs. And that letter highlights how the provincial department in the Eastern Cape has failed to assist with the elections of a new CPF, and that CPF has now resigned. And so we have the oversight role that we play as members is critically important to hopefully assist the National Police Commissioner and his team to intervene where necessary, and I hope that that will receive the necessary attention. What was also interesting about the Jeffreys Bay Police Station chairperson as it relates to the presentation is that when I had a meeting with the station commander, Lieutenant Colonel Kivit, and she indicated that, if I recall correctly, every night there's one police vehicle with two police officers monitoring almost 40,000 people across Jeffreys Bay in all communities, and it's quite an expansive area. And so this obviously also affects response time, vehicles in maintenance and workshop, etc. And it's an ongoing issue, I'm aware, for SAPS, but it's something that we need to get right. We need to make sure that we have the right rotations for shifts for police officers, but also that the maintenance of vehicles is happening consistently so that we don't have our vehicles in workshops but on the streets and our police officers on the beat where they need to be to respond to crime. In terms of Program 1, Chair, my colleagues have touched on some of the specifics, but if we are going to inspire confidence in the public as the South African Police Service and inspire or inflict terror on criminals, in the 21st century, we have to be technologically capable and equipped to fight crime and criminals who are often incredibly technologically advanced. Now, in Program 1, we saw a complete failure of SAPS with respect to technology. The list is long. Digital radio communication infrastructure sites, 21 out of 112. So far. This is third quarter, I acknowledge that, but this is not looking good. National network communication infrastructure sites, lots of noughts. Closed circuit television, CCTV, naught, naught, naught. Drones, naught, naught, naught. Modernized incident management capabilities of 10111 centers, naught, naught, naught. If we can't have vehicle monitoring units, naught, 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 if we can't utilize technology efficiently and effectively to fight crime, I fear that we're not going to win the war against crime. And this is a constructive proposal that I'm making, and hopefully we can get some response as to what the impediments are, and I presume we're going to hear a lot about contracts and supply chain and issues of that nature. But then we need a response from supply chain chairperson, and we need supply chain here to explain to this committee precisely why we cannot get our contract management in order. And perhaps we'll get a response today, but I'm very concerned that unless we utilize technology better through MOUs with the private sector or with municipalities, sharing CCTV networks, radio rooms, the partnerships are maybe an efficient way to operate, and perhaps we can get some feedback on that. And then I'd be very interested specifically to hear the utilization of gunshot detection technology and software. And we're aware that it is used in parts of South Africa in certain municipalities, and whether SAPS has considered that in order to improve response times and arrests, and we've seen that it has worked where it has been utilized, or that it can work. Under Program 1, the firearms that my colleague spoke about that have been lost or stolen from SAPS, what disciplinary action has been taken against any members who've lost or sold or left behind their firearms for a criminal to come and collect? And what has been done about the tracing of those firearms? How are we able to ensure that we are able to trace those firearms and recover those firearms? And are we monitoring that? The other element of it is ammunition. How much ammunition is stolen? Surely we should be including that as well. And so you've got firearms and ammunition lost or stolen, so that we have an idea of the real situation when it comes to actual illegal firearms out on the street. So it's all good and well pursuing firearm amnesty and asking people to renew their licenses and keeping an eye on everyone who is a lawful citizen owning a firearm. But SACS is unable to control the loss of firearms from their own members. It would be a good opportunity for the Minister to clarify his comments on gun ownership. This committee has not yet received the Firearms Control Amendment Bill, yet we've heard lots of comments in the public domain, and perhaps we can be enlightened as to when we will actually get that bill so that the committee can deal with it and do its work, which is to legislate and then hold the executive accountable, and not the other way around. The other piece of legislation, Chairperson, that I'd like us to get some feedback on is the Forensic Procedures Amendment Bill. And it felt like when we had the DNA board at the end of last year, the Deputy Minister, there seemed to be an interest in taking this matter forward. I don't know where we are with this bill. The DNA board has repeatedly raised its concerns in its annual reports, and I fear that the Minister's comments, or the Minister and the Minister of Home Affairs exploring a national DNA database, I think we need some clarity on that issue, because it's part of this gender-based violence issue that we're dealing with in the country. And if we aren't able to expand our DNA database to include the convicted criminals, that Schedule 8 offenders that are in prison, I fear that we won't be able to tackle that end of the gender-based violence chain. And then with regards to the expenditure on the forensic laboratory services, can we get a response as to whether the equipment is functional? And what I mean by that, I suppose, is whether we have maintenance contracts in place. And if we don't have maintenance contracts in place, I presume that equipment is shut down, because if you don't have the contracts in place, you can't process the DNA because it will be challenged in court. And that's a very simplistic interpretation, but there are experts here who can maybe just advise the committee where we are in terms of the equipment at these laboratories and the maintenance of that equipment and the procurement of new equipment and tools required to do that work. So, Chairperson, we have a very serious technology issue, I believe, in SAPS, if I look just at Program 1, and I believe that there are some very quick interventions and quick wins we can make to improve our statistics going forward, and I hope that the Minister will champion the drive to modernize the South African Police Service more, and take note of some of the failures that are apparent in this report that cannot be fixed in the last quarter. It's just not possible. We need to take note of the fact that technology is available for us to use, it's available for us to catch criminals, and it's not being adequately implemented based on the report that we've had here today. We need to make sure that we keep the pressure up on that. But I'm very concerned about this Forensic Procedures Amendment Bill. I've raised it, Chair, as you know, repeatedly. I've written to you. I will keep raising it. But it cannot be that that bill, which appears in the annual report that we are told, appears to be a very uncontroversial piece of legislation, is now made controversial through the investigation of some national DNA database. It's a dystopian nightmare. If we start going down that road, we'll have all sorts of constitutional issues when Schedule 8 offenders remain off the database, and those are the ones we need on the database. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. It sounds like that Honourable Whitfield didn't get his mathematics right when he said, what, till 5 o'clock, I think you needed to be here till the next sauna, I think, with the number of questions. That's good. But let me just start off first of all by saying, Chair, I think one of my major problems I'm experiencing is that many of our senior officers, particularly in SEPs, and it appears in many of the departments, they're like untouchables. You cannot and unreachable whenever there are challenges. And that excludes, and I must commend the minister, because if you contacted the minister at any time, no matter what time it is, the minister will return your call, and for that I commend you, Minister, because that is basically what you want. We are the eyes and ears of the people on the ground, and we hear about what is going on the ground, and repeatedly we have to respond to them. And when you call some of your officers, you just cannot contact them at all, even though numbers are made available, it's not. But the minister, I can assure you, will always return your call, no matter what. So I commend you for that, Minister. Now, you know, and having said that, you know, Minister, my concern is this, that when we raise matters for attention, it is not being addressed. And I'll give you a good example. I've repeatedly said in the South previously, it's been all over the media, there's many cases open on it. General Labia, I've spoken to him half a dozen times about it. It's about the so-called bogus doctor with all the evidence there, who's been practicing, committed fraud, received money from the department. But I can tell you to date, I've never got a response, despite the phone calls. Now, my calls are not even taken. But the people on the ground want to know what is going on. So how many times, and we as public representatives, we don't unfortunately have the time to chase one matter 10 times, because there's so many complaints coming about many things, not only about SAPs, about many issues. And we need to deal with it. When the matter comes up, we need to deal with it. We need a response, sort that matter out, and move on to something else. We're not able to do that very often, Minister, I can tell you that. Now, I'm concerned about the issue of vetting. You know, it's been one of the very serious matters for us, and you did address that in your presentation, but it's fine. But I think it's a matter for concern. We wanted to actually raise it. Is there any update on that Senator Mayo matter that has been hitting the headlines for such a long time? We could get some response. I'm not looking for the nitty-gritty. Now, my concern is value for money. When you appropriate, you need to get value. And unfortunately, if you look on the ground, it's not converted to value. I visited recently the Delft over the festive season, the Delft police station. And the expectations are too high from our police officers in a station like Delft, who did not take into consideration the size, the growing population, the serious crimes that exist. But if you go to that station, if you look at the officers the detectives have to use, I mean, the facility, the infrastructure is totally not conducive to be able to conduct their work. Nothing is happening about that. The Woodstock police station is a crisis, I can assure you. But there's nothing being done about it. We need to address these things if we want our staff officers to be able to work properly, then you must give them the tools. And we're not doing that. And I think it comes back to what we've heard a long time from the minister, that when you put up a township, you don't consult with SEPs. But SEPs is supposed to prevent the crime in the area. You put up it, you've got so much, many more people that are entering the area, but you haven't provided for some kind of, you know, prevention by departments like South African Police Service. So that's the other problem that I think we put in. Actually, I must commend you. I see that you're doing a very good job in spending the money and the services
on the VIP protection. Very good for that. If you think we could rather make all 59 people into VIPs, maybe we'll get them better service for them all. So, you know, yeah. Now, CPFs are not working all over. I've been in California, and I've addressed a lot of communities. In fact, let me tell you, there's a conflict of interest, for example, because I think it's the wife of the mayor or the deputy mayor is supposed to be in charge of some CPF that was there and things, and people are certainly complaining. At long, they've never seen the CPF, they never ever, it's been on the radio. So there's serious problems in terms of that as well. I wanted to know, and I didn't get the answer yesterday in the standing committee on appropriation and what I wanted. If we remember, the president in the initiatives in terms of gender-based violence spoke about $1.6 billion that we are going to set aside to deal with gender-based violence and whatever it is. And part of that, I think the talk was on rape kits and whatever it is that you need. I just want you to clarify for me and tell me, how is that working in terms of that budget? Is that allocation to you? Is it shifting from one department to the other at the expense of the other department? Have you received anything? Are you getting anything to be able to strengthen your police stations in terms of all that and other facilities for gender-based violence? Now, yes, correctly so. I think, Minister, you said in your in the beginning of this presentation about murder, particularly by victims known to the perpetrators and things. And yes, it's a serious problem, we know that. But like we said before, and I think you've also alluded to that, Minister, but I don't believe enough has been done about it. Where does this problem originate? Yes, you can't detect what's going on in someone's house until the murder is committed. Correct. But where is it coming from? Again, what I'm not seeing is what we want to see. Is the cooperation of all the relevant departments to take responsibility to be able to deal with the issues of crime. It's now just taken and pushed the South African Police Service to do. Minister, let me tell you, contrary to what I hear, even from SAPS, your relationship with the Department of Justice and Correctional Services is not one that one can be proud of. Your police officers time and time again, and I hear it from them every other day, because we speak to these people on the ground. They are trying to do their work. The matters are going to court. They are being withdrawn. They've been withdrawn because they've been instructed that there's no space in the correctional facilities. Get them up. So all they are doing while you're arresting, they just want to get it off their own. And that is what is happening. You know, I want to give you one good example. Is a victim which I think you're aware of, Minister, but I'm not going to mention the name here. Somebody who works in the precinct, who was battered and bruised. But the matter hasn't come to court yet, but I believe it's coming sometime in March. If you looked at the condition of this victim, actually I became emotional. You know? So can you see the problems we are facing? And based on that, I want to know if you've got an IT system, that if you punched in my ID when I'm arrested, would it be able to tell you everything about me, particularly on the criminal record? Have I been arrested before for any similar offenses? Because people, I can tell you what happened the other day. A parolee, chairperson, a parolee for murder and robbery, convicted for 25 years, has only served part of his sentence, is rearrested and the next morning gets the bail. Your police officer is helpless. If I tell you your police officer went 7 times to the police station to make sure they serve the document onto this parolee, and he will be in violation of every parole condition, I can tell you now, that's how helpless some of your police officers are. They can't do nothing about it, unfortunately. That's some of the problems we are sitting with. So that's the other one. Now, I don't know what the conviction rate is in terms of those that you are arresting. And I think at some stage we want to look at the success rate. And then break it down to us in ABC language. What is the cause of the poor conviction rate or the withdrawals and things like that? Because we want to get to the bottom of the problem. Some are complaining, and the easiest thing we do is we take them. They're not doing the investigation properly. Or this is not good and that is not good. Like the example I gave you of the victim from this precinct, If you looked at the person and the evidence, and the court is saying, no, we need more. They said, need more. So only it's because of the intervention of Minister Yu and others in this House that the matter went on. Yes, victim support is still or not up to standard in the state. You know, you go to some of the stations. Leave all the stations. Chair, let's go to this one here. Cape Town Central. You know, people go there even to lodge a complaint. There's 20 people sitting there and one or two officers that are in, you know, are going to be interviewing them. Where is the privacy and things? Imagine somebody going there to go and complain, my husband is abusing me. Or worse, a man going to say, my wife is abusing me. Do you think he wants to go and talk about when 20 other people are sitting in that environment? It's basically what you see. And I must agree with you, Minister, that something must be done about this thing of the public wanting to use South African police services with the limited resources we got, wanting to fill the police stations with getting affidavits done. It's just not possible. Really, we need to be honest about it. Where is the public representative and their officers that should be issuing these things, not South African police services? That's taking away, at any given time in the police station, two officers are not working, but they're only working together. So that's the other problem. I want to go back to the issue of police officers and their wellness. You need a program to continuously to vet your officers, but not only vet them, to look at their wellness. Remember, I complained in this house about the police officer's wife in the Wellington area. The woman minister has sent me the latest voice note. I'd like you to listen to it sometime. She's so concerned. She says, if the last one now, if anything happens to you, I just want you to know I've tried everything. Because after he was arrested, after the intervention, court released him the next day. She doesn't know what to do. He's been abusing her. He's been threatening. The next thing you hear, she's going to be a victim. And that's it. So that's the other problem we are talking about. Right. We've gone to that one. Chair, I'm sorry about this. Can you tell me if there's a special investigation or anything in terms of the kidnapping in South Africa for ransom? And we know this is an international syndicate. It's happening all the time, particularly with businessmen that are being... Minister, I want an update on the Rishal Diana matter that I alluded to before with General Libya. Rishal Diana, that's the matter. I want to know why such a long time this man has not been arrested. Rishal Diana is that bogus doctor that I'm talking about. I want to know why he's not arrested. And I don't want to hear, Minister, anything about University of KwaZulu-Natal. That's a separate matter. This is a separate case of him practicing as a doctor, putting the lives of many of our people, defrauding the department. I don't want it to be linked to those unlawful qualifications of UK. Then we need to separate it. That's the other thing. Now, Minister, I've spoken to one or two of the departments. We have a crisis in South Africa in terms of the high level, aggravated by the high presence of unlawful documented people like we've heard in Japan, together with criminal activities of the sex trade, the drug trade, and everything. We believe that what we need, and I am initiating a program or a raid in one of the areas in Cape Town, and I'm not making mention of it, with SAPS, with SARS, with Home Affairs, all of our law enforcement there. To set an example, starting in the one area of identifying all those that are undocumented, that are in all the fake goods, because we want to enhance our manufacturing industry, create more jobs, everything one shot, close the place, the entire area, and deal with it. So I would like your help in terms of...
Honorable.
Yeah, we got...
Yeah.
Close it, identify them, arrest them, set an example so that in this country we now need law and order. And that's going to help SAPS as far as I'm concerned, because as it is, you've got a problem. But if you've got 2 million people undocumented, you're involved in other criminal activities, it's an additional burden on SAPS. So we need to deal with any form of crime, and I believe that's going to... You wanted to stop me for now?
No, I wanted to ask how many people have left, or you...
I'm not going to. Okay, I'm going to try and finish very, very quickly. Unfortunately, you know.
No,
Chair,
please,
okay.
You know, you're always better than Honorable Whitfield and Honorable Zabrash.
Now Sir Blanche's hand is going up and Mofo King's hand is going up. Today you're taking advantage of me. Stop it, please.
Chair, unfortunately, let me tell you what the problem is, Chair. When you're in touch with the people on the ground, Minister, I don't know how often I call you. It's because people are... Stop here if you want.
Yes, please. Honourable Mofo King, everybody has gone on the ground. We've all been on the ground over this Christmas period.
Can I raise my point of honour?
Yes.
Chair, I think we will respect the honourable member for raising questions, but you know, we've been listening, and the worst part of it is that this committee, we have a plan. We said we are going to have a joint committee with justice and correctional services. And for one who sits in justice, and I mean a subcommittee of correctional services, to hear somebody saying what he's saying when he has an opportunity to go and sit in the justice committee, I can invite him to come on Thursday, raise your issues there, the Minister for Justice to also answer you. But at this time, you cannot abuse the police to be answering on the question of justice. They also have a cluster. So he must come and join us so that when you raise things, you are relevant into this. I'm sorry, Chair. It's too much. We must have a limit on questions, too.
But
members, please. Members, we are arranging a meeting of the JCPN cluster. Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister, and General Pretoria, on the 10th of March, the House Chair has given us permission to arrange a meeting of the JCPN cluster. Because it is now well overdue. We are never going to get by without having a joint meeting. And all the members have been requesting this. So the Honourable Chief Whip and House Chair, Honourable Collins, have also requested that we have this JCPN cluster because they also get the members. So when it comes to matters of currency, we will raise it on the 10th of March. Honourable members, can we, others have been shortening their questions, okay? So please, can we also be disciplined? Comrades on that side, honourables on this side. Honourable Tablash, not comrades.
Chairman, no, I just wanted to raise a point of order. Can you ask the members to concentrate on the question that is relevant to the legislation? We cannot, you know, discuss the whole area. Thank you.
Honourable Sheikh, I think you agree, the members say you've had your time is up now.
Well, Chair, I think I'm being suppressed, but if that is the attitude of the committee, then I'll accept that, because the fact of the matter is that I'm here to address the concerns of the people together with SEP, and SEPs, there is a problem with SEPs and justice. So I'm not, I can understand that must also be addressed to justice, but I'm asking SEPs to deal with their challenges with justice. So I think, you know, it's just been misinterpreted, but the fact of the matter is this. If I have 50 matters to address, you understand, what are you supposed to do? Leave them out, then I'm quite happy to leave them out if that's the case. But we're not doing justice to raising the challenges of the people and bringing to the attention of that. But I'm quite willing to leave it at that. But I think it is not fair that, you know, if initially we said we're going to accept 3 questions or 5, then we leave it to 3 questions or 5 questions. But if we're leaving it in general, then it becomes a problem in terms of that. But also remember...
Honourable, you are being unfair. I was very, very lenient with you. Honourable members, is that not so? I was very lenient in comparison with Whitfield and all the front benches here. From Mofo King. I skipped Mafanya, Aisha, Benny, very little time. You know, I was so nice to you today. Now you're telling me, no, you must apologize or withdraw. Please withdraw. I was very nice to you today. No, you're done. Honourable Sheikh, can you please put it in writing? And next week we'll continue with our questions. You see, you've been away for too long. Now you have a long list of questions. We all have been away too long. You cannot complete the curriculum now in one day.
You can write it down. The others you will do next. Yes. All right. Thank you. Honorable Faku.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson says, let me welcome the report. I want to agree with Honorable Mofokeng to say that we are coming far with the department. I think that there is a slight improvement in terms of targets that we have met, that we requested them to meet. But of course, there are challenges. And I think mainly some of the challenges are basically monitoring. The department, when it comes to monitoring their programs, I think that is where they are failing. Because if you can see that at some point, like your victim-friendly centers or victim-friendly when you go to a police station, their target was 100%, but they are sitting at 99%. I don't know, maybe do you sit in the following court and say, let us improve here and there. But I think mostly, even the percentage is so small. So I think for me, from where I'm sitting, that a national commissioner, you need to strengthen that unit in terms of how you monitor the progress. But of course, one must say that I'm very happy with your finance department. Therefore, you are doing a stunning job. Out of your audit findings, you were able to achieve 85% of that out of 89, which is a great achievement. Maybe because it's led by a woman to us, Malibongwe. So it's a great achievement. It's a great achievement because in our audit findings last time, mostly of our audit findings were basically on finance and ICT. Of course, I see that ICT is still a challenge which Honorable Richfield has. I must say that if you don't take technology into power or into your department, you are going to have a lot of challenges. Like, for instance, investigation. You know, part of my other task, I serve in the Communication Subcommittee and the ICT group. We had an oversight in some of the facilities that are out there, how technology is used and how technology can try and fast-track progress. You must go to the Department of Health and you will see. That is why the Department of Health is ready for NHI, because they are advancing in technology. Perhaps, Minister, it's something that you need to look at. You must meet with the ICT Focus Group of Parliament and the Minister of Communication. Some of these things can be done quickly. But also let me say that on the issue of firearm registration, which normally would take 90 days, your percentage is very high because you have met all your targets within the 90 days, which as a committee, we supported the firearms amnesty. And I feel that at least you are doing your part in this. You are meeting your target on a quarterly basis and you must keep up on that. But then you have a crisis of firearms that are stolen. Of course, the question was asked, what is the consequence management of this? What are you doing with these people who are stealing firearms? Perhaps this is a function, Minister, that maybe we must use people that have retired from SAP to come up and offer specialized services when it comes to this, because we can't have firearms. We're wanting these firearms to be safe, but people are stealing within the department, which is a great challenge. But overall, I think we are going into the right direction as long as you put a red flag when it comes to how you monitor progress. How you monitor progress, that is where we are having a serious problem with. But also the issue of infrastructure, I see there we have spent less than what is expected. Maybe we need to try and correct that. But also there's this thing of alpha complaints where the minute was 17.37, but the first quarter and the second quarter you did meet, and then the third quarter you did not meet again. For me, it's a problem. Maybe it's because the distance that is there in police station. Perhaps it's something that we need to look into. But thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also appreciate the presentation that's been made. and also agree with that honorable members that it is very progress compared to the previous report that we have been received. The only thing that I want to stress to the department is that we need also to make sure that we do assessments on our CPS, because the CPS are also the most important stakeholders in making sure that we achieve the targets on fight against crime. So if it's time to time we monitor the functionality of the CPS, it will give us strength on how to see whether those CPS are assisting or they still need more training in order to assist the department to achieve the target. The last one is on the community outreach program. I think we also need to monitor the impact that this outreach program has been, whether we reach the relevant audience or whether there is positive output out of those community outreach programs. So I just want the department at least to focus on those things. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Majority.
Oh, no, they is. So, thank you.
Thank you, Chaplain. Now, firstly, maybe let us welcome the report that we have just received. And maybe at the outset, Chaplain, let me request that it would be a lot easier for us to engage on this report if we would then get also the challenges and how can we move forward. Because I don't want to behave like, or to assume like Honorable Faku, that maybe this and that, we need to have these challenges so that we know what it is that we are dealing with and how can we as a committee help the SAPS to be able to do their work. I would agree with Honorable Sheikh in that when you contact the minister responds. Even if he is appalled, he will respond to you immediately. And that is an applause. And I would wish that even those who are deployed in other areas, they would take the lead from the minister, because he responds to you immediately. Why am I saying this? I don't want to get on this quickly because it touches on the victims. Why am I saying this? You find that there are police officers who are involved in housing problems. Where do they find their scope in housing problems? You'll never get it. We get complaints during the holidays or when we go to our constituencies that people were shot with rubber bullets. When you go and report such cases, they are not taken seriously. And these are people who live in the same community. So police officers find themselves meddling with issues that do not concern them. So it's that trend of victims that if they are saying they are reaching their targets and on the victim side, how so? Because people are complaining every day. People are having complaints that instead of receiving help from the police station, they don't receive it. They are told that they must go back, they must come back. So it's just that issue that needs to be solved. But nonetheless, Chaplain, when we go to page 23, I'm engaging with this report because it's in front of me and we have received it, but I would have loved it if it had a bit of explanation in terms of challenges, how do we move forward, so that they propose as well. And then we are able to say the committee, how then do we contribute towards your proposal. In terms of the disciplinary hearing,
some of these things are things that could be we could have solved this. Like why is there a backlog on the disciplinary hearing? Is it a problem of not concluded cases? Because it does not say what is happening here. So we need to find out whether these cases are concluded or they are about to be concluded or what is going to happen. So these are the things that we can avoid. That look, disciplinary hearing finalization, you can finalize them and move forward. So I think those are the issues that we need to take care of, Chairperson. And on page 27, the issue of BRV. They've reached their target, but I heard when they were presenting that there were other PRVs that they couldn't find because of sizes. So I'm not sure whether those ones, where did they fall off? Because if you say it's 100%, which means you've reached your target. But what about those ones that you've just explained to us that you could not find sizes on? So where do they fall off if you get that 100%? And also, Chairperson, on the issue of firearms, what I would like to know is that there are firearms that were given to people, licensed firearms, but their licenses have expired. We don't see it here. It does not. It has not been written whether they came back to renew their firearms or they have not renewed their firearms. And what is it that the SAPS will do if you do not renew your firearm on time, or you do not come and say, this is the licensed firearm that I had and I want to renew it, or I just want to bring it back. So we don't get that set here. If maybe we get that set, it would be a much, much not good. And also on page 53, on the issue of escape from police custody, this number is too much. It's too huge, 769. But my problem is one, what do we do with the police officers who were on duty and this thing happened when they were on duty? Because serious consequences must be dealt with those police officers. We cannot have these escapes while you have police officers on duty on that time. What happened to them? Because it's not all officers, it's not all officers that are corrupt, I'll say that, or take bribes. But in these cases, you would see that you cannot have 769 escapes and that you have just reduced with 2%. It's not acceptable. Those people must be held accountable. What is it that will be done so that we make sure that we minimize these escapes? Because when these escapes happen, we don't know whether that person is a murderer that has escaped or that person has done what. So it gives us a problem, Chairperson, that maybe those things we should look at, and serious consequences must be taken for those people who are on that one. On the issue of car hijacking, I wouldn't know, Chairperson, if it is a problem, but what I received during holiday was a good report. In fact, I had, I think, about 5 or 6 people, because they saw that I sit on the portfolio committee on police, and who were recommending how the turnaround time that they had on police when they reported that their cars were hijacked, and they got them the same day. So that is an applause that I would say, because those are the reports that I got. I think it was about 6 reports that I got during the holidays, that the police officers were on time and the turnaround time on car hijacking that had taken place. So I would really say applaud on that, but then we need to improve, because it's not only those 6 people who were car hijacked, it's a lot of them, and others have not received anything as yet. No, I can't, Chairperson. I think I've taken not much of your time. I'm done. In fact, I am done, Chairperson. This is my last one. I have a sincere, on page 60, I see that they do the community outreach program, but I would love them that, I would hope that these outreach programs are held in each and every ward, because we need to find out why are people losing trust on police, and why are they not connecting with community? Because these outreach programs are not held in each and every ward. So that is the problem. If we do not interact with each and every ward in our residence, it's going to be a problem. But I would suggest that for future, the outreach programs that they have, then they must have them in each and every ward, so that we get also what is the community saying about the SAPS. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair, Minister, and Deputy Minister, and all stakeholders and committee members. I would like to congratulate the Minister for job well done during the festive season. And it wasn't our first festive season. And then it showed that something different was done this time around. And as a result, that is the feedback that we got from the ground, that the police were on point this time around. Now, the issue is that there's nothing new. Absolutely nothing new of these things that are highlighted, because even in the previous administration, the very same issues were raised, including the one of the festive season. But because this time around it was done differently, we were able to come up with positive results. Now, what it tells us is when you look into this report, it highlights that the police are in the know, because they have identified areas where there are weaknesses, where they didn't do well themselves. They highlighted that in this report. Now, it tells us that something different has to be done, because they have already identified the weaknesses. Now, to say people must account elsewhere, operations, people on the operational level must account. At this level, it is the minister that accounts to say what happened there, why are we having all these weaknesses in those areas that are highlighted in the report. Now, the other matter is where the minister says there are areas where the police cannot be tamelessly at the crime scene, in homes, in schools, and he is correct in it. Because the matter is more on the interdepartmental approach that we have to take. And we agree to that. So it means the meeting on the 10th, the JCPS cluster meeting, will address those things. We will engage in those matters at those levels. Now, I would like us to reframe to areas where we begin to say, I'm from this police station and that police station, because all of us have got something to say about all different individual police stations. But at this level, we've got to say, in the past we said we have 30 priority police stations and all that. The police themselves have got the data, they have identified areas where there is emphasis that's got to be made. We are just to re-emphasize the area that, oh, I'm from Vereeniging police station, there are issues there. Can you zoom into it? Then the minister will account for such, because he knows he's got his own soldiers that has got to those matters.
when we do our oversight, it is where we are going to pick up quite a few things that, Minister, here we negate with what you are saying. We didn't find things in the manner that you put to us. And there should be an improvement in those regards. So I would like us to look at crime holistically, to where as this committee, to begin to do our own oversight. And as a committee, because we do it individually, but as a committee, we need also to do our oversight. So that when we see like this, we are in unison, we agree or disagree on items. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Very detailed and succinct responses and questions. I may add, Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister, I don't even see the effect of the program doesn't even warrant its presentation because it was very effective. Speak for itself. It does not need paper or a report on paper to show its existence. Now that is the kind of police service that we want. Is where we don't receive a 160-page report, where the work has been so effective that when you walk in, you don't even need anything on the board. Honourable members, firstly we are saying that this JCPS meeting on the 10th of March will do everything to make possible to make it successful. So if you can also highlight your areas of concern, you can include it in the researchers because there's an admin team working on the content. In this, the matter of the JCPS and the constituency report, we need the assistance of the minister and general secretary. It will not be a success without you. So if you could just give us a point person, you know, that could assist. So that we know what we want from the presentation, we need to do the presentation. We don't want to sit there with a map reading and achieve that. Because we're bringing all the information together. And it's not also going to be a battleground and a slaughterhouse where we start accusing justice and justice. So there will not be a battleground. We'll find areas of synergy and areas of a common approach. On the matter of constituency officers, ministers, members of visiting a number of communications. Now we can't both call you or call the commission. Can we also or call the we are having a lot of opportunities also to call the provincial commissioners to respond. But I think we must be able to have a system where we process the visits, the oversight visits. And we know that once we have reported something, there has been a response. Because you go back to your constituency, they don't want to see you again if you haven't addressed their problem. And you look really, you look incompetent as a parliamentarian. And they say, but if you can't help us, who can help us? So you lose your stature as a parliamentarian. People come back and the same problem exists. In fact, you run away from your constituency. You don't answer their calls. And please don't die. I hope I'm not on TV, but I really die. I don't answer certain calls. unless I have, when I have a response, I call them. And they're very angry. Now, on a serious note, Honourable Minister, we will also go to the Central Firearms Registry. That's part of our concern. Could we get an update
on the firearms amnesty and how it is progressing. Please. Now this central firearms registry, I don't know, Minister, you yourself and your ministry, you've raised this problem. But I think we need to make it a matter of emphasis, please. How many police officers have been charged for sexual assault? Being something that is lurking in the shadows where it happens, you just see that police have committed this kind of offences, but we actually also have those statistics, please. What I'm picking up is the Department of Public Health and Police. It's also a matter we made last year. But you're still thinking about invoices were not available, they're not making the invoices available on time. And is this matter of public health? The same with your technology. You also link that. Finally, can we really expect a serious reduction in when your serious crime targets are so low? Now, Minister, from you, you know you can turn things around. Hmm? So, are we going to track that you will, I'm convinced, that you will be able to address the matter of serious crime, and that it is your focus. And will you please, you brought the anti-gang unit back. Will you please bring the anti-gang unit back? And when you bring this anti-gang unit back, there will be many parents. There's this Western Cape Premier and Minister MP of Police. Have we signed MOU? Because I don't know, is it regulated? What they are doing? Is it regulated? I don't understand, because to me, not see the synergy. Is there some form of synergy? Is there some form of MOU? Have you convinced yourself of the legality of it? Okay. I do not want a comeback. If they have resources, it must be applied in conjunction with the National Department. We don't need to work at loggerheads or parallel to each other. Do you have some cooperation? Because in the past you complained about that cooperation. Finally, there was a matter of a metro police in Mangaung municipality. That would be wonderful for us to launch. The committee will be there to launch it. Minister, it will be a wonderful occasion if you can launch the what is required, because we want to do this. This will be a success story for this committee. Among a woman, they engaging and it worked quite hard to have a metro police. Women among a woman is a metro. So the metro was out the metro police. So they will have a metro police. Then, Minister, there's also been this request for a firearms summit. And we told him that, you know, we can't have a firearms summit on our own. So we also asked that there be some form of assistance when it comes to a firearms summit.
General Petroleum Minister, Deputy Minister, the floor.
Well, thank you very much, I don't regret sitting here today. I did not attend it because there were many horses here, so I got it from the horse's mouth, which really helps to understand better if it is the first information. A direct question, especially from the Honourable Member, the statement. Well, I've been a member of the legislature for a very long time. I was a member of the legislature for a very long time. I've just come on the executive. But a bigger portion of my life has been in the legislature, which has helped me to understand these processes. I will repeat what I have been trying to explain about this bill. To say there is no minister that has a bill. The bill belongs to Parliament and the people of South Africa. I have said this statement time and again, and I repeat it. We develop the bill, we take it to the cabinet. The cabinet registers the bill, they take it to Parliament. The Parliament, starting from this portion of Parliament, and then you take it to the people out there, this body. You take it out there, they miss it, they cut it, they do everything. Doesn't matter what was the origin of the bill. And then when you've done that, it goes to the House. The House says, good job. Sometimes it takes it back, sometimes yes, and then it goes to the NCOP, and then that it doesn't matter what I want in the bill, it doesn't matter. So the system is very elaborate for getting the best act at the end of the day. But you would ask the minister, what would you want to see on the bill? You say, I still want to see one too. As a member of parliament, as a politician, all that. But does it come, does it see the light of the day? Depends on the process it's going for. Most of the time, the bills, by the time they go, is a half of what you have wanted. If we are lucky, it's half of what you have wanted. So that's the process that I've explained when it comes to the bill. To say, my wishes will be sifted and saved through the bill, but I would think, maybe let me repeat it. If you would ask me personally, I would have loved to see the unarmed society. If you ask me, I would have loved to see the Japanese society, the South Korea society. I would. But that's my wish, that would be seen going through and all that kind of. I'm sure most of us, we would. Maybe not elaborating that because we're not discussing the bill per se. That bill will come, go to cabinet, will come to committee and all that. I think we're almost there. Almost there. The second one, the forensic issue and the Bakal stumbles on the sentence people. I found that one there, but the cabinet felt that it should be a standard issue of South Africans having DNA bank, like your fingerprint, which immediately puts you on the map of being a South African, of being easy to detect you, of being easy to connect you with a person. Once it says so, it doesn't, it's no more a police matter. It's a home affairs matter, who is a custodian of your fingerprints and other things, including DNA. Hence, then, there is a letter written to the Minister of Home Affairs, Dr. Twede, by the Minister of Police, Mr. Tsebe, to say once the cabinet calls on broken issue is not narrow to the people that has been sent there. So it was handed over to them to begin to work on those matters. The committee is there, which also has been informed that it has been a call of the cabinet to work it on a broader situation like your fingerprints and the DNA bank of all South Africans, which also will help people ask that if you're not in the bank, you might not be South African, you might be a foreign national. So we know that you are not in this bank, which helps to know that you are trying to find a person that you are not about to find. So those are the things about these two specific questions that are there. And the matter remains with the Department of Home Affairs. Having said that, honorable members, we have took this opportunity. For instance, 14,000 remission have been made. Not a single one goes out without this backup kit. Not one. I can tell members here that unfortunately that has stopped people getting out of prison because they don't want to keep this sample. They're not marching out of prison. These 14,000 people that have been given remission are not marching out because they need to pass to this kit and they don't want to see this kit. At least those, when they were in prison and they visited them and they didn't want, even with that one, initial one, that 2000 that was in prison then. This time, they don't even want to come out because they don't want to pass this. But we have made it very clear. I can tell you, we have sufficient kids waiting for them this time. And nobody leaves the gates of correctional service without this backup system of DNA to keep it in the bank. It is only limited size that we have done that. So those were specific questions that you asked. Chairperson and the honourable members, I want to make a request that on program one, many things were raised, including the IT, which I fully agree. Without IT, you can't live in this world. I want to make a request that I have conferred with the Deputy Minister to say we don't answer anything on the phone. I think the suggestion was made. I think two people, Machozi and the Telegraph, to say we'll have to come back on that. I would request that we allowed to go fix ourselves on this one and come back with a fixed list, because by look of things, we are not going to have answers on it. So I think the committee will have mess on us on this one. So you go and fix this thing and come back. I think could be a period that could be put there. What are we fixing now? What are we putting in? Remember, this is the financial year we're talking about. The financial year is gone by now. This is the last month, if I'm not mistaken. It's 11th month, this one, of the financial year. So, is there anything to be fixed, or is there period to come to say we'll fix this with a very strict monitoring measure? Somebody did raise the issue of monitoring, internally, committee, and otherwise. So, especially on program one, because program one has got holes everywhere. Just everywhere has got holes. So that's what I would put on the table on this one. The committee will see that you go back, fix yourself on this one, and come back. The question of the plaster, we have raised it time and again. I hope I'm glad it is coming. But let me put this on the table. The working relationship of the JCPS has improved, especially the working relationship between justice and the police. to such an extent that the Minister of Justice and Minister of Police have agreed to say at least have one meeting a month between themselves, even beyond the class themselves, because with that relationship will have to be between them working on this. One thing that we are trying to work hard on it is to get the prosecution. What is the term? Prosecution director.
Prosecutorial.
Prosecutorial guided investigations. Mm-hmm. We are trying hard to work on that. By the time we take it there, we are more confident that the case is tight. So there are quite several of those that we are working with. We still have problems. We still do have problems. National Commissioner and the advocate head of MPA have allocated their officials that will be working on some of the crucial matters. One of those matters is cash in transit, where the police would be directly working with prosecutors. Is one area that we have a lot of problem. I think there is one criminal that has got about 12 withdrawals of cash. 12 withdrawals. When George Mala had been there, but we never draw it. So we have said, please, can you come together on this one? So there is this blame, I'm not defending police here, there is this blame that police maybe did not put the good investigation. That's why the case is. But let me tell you, there is no case that goes to court having not been enrolled by prosecution. But when it's withdrawn, they blame the police. But when it goes, everybody agrees. So those are the things that we need to work on there. Instead of fighting over this relationship, we must be able to say, even at the closed doors, but how did this case go there? How was it enrolled? And all that. I read this time and again. When the case is found that women is done, people go to prison quick and all that, they'll be saying hallelujah for prosecution. And nobody remembers that police did a good job on the case. So there are those things, because you are not going to send person to life if the police didn't do the job. But also, the case for it to be enrolled, everybody must agree, including prosecution. We need to tie ourselves there. I think that meeting will also help that we work on those matters. There are specific cases here that have been raised. I'm not going to be giving much of the problem one on a method. I put my case on this one. I hope it will come. There is one big thing in policy. We talk about the response time. And somebody says maybe it's because the rural areas will drive long. No. The longest response time is in townships. I've been working that deployed, especially December and all, there was a demand. I've been deployed several times. In deployed, it takes you 10 minutes to walk 500 meters. It takes you 10 minutes to walk 500 meters. And the police, we have to park the van somewhere and walk. In Marikana here, in Escalo here, just to go from this side on the other side, when you can't see where your hand ends. Yeah. So one thing that we are calling and we hope will be assisted is the thorough working on the environmental design to make policing better. Without that environmental design, without the streets, without the housing, without the numbers on those houses, without the electricity, the lighting, without the cameras, policing is nightmare. Environmental disaster. Please, I did hear yesterday, I think it was people from, was it Salka, to say that they are calling the city of Western Cape to come and account about the 5 billion rand that was not used. That was what said in the house yesterday. And I said to myself, I'm not hearing it well. I'm not hearing it well because it's one area that was really shouting of the environmental disaster. While I'm there, yesterday we had a good meeting with the premier of the province. Let me put it, I think we're beginning to work very well with the premier of the Western Cape. But yesterday also there was a city, because when you worked with the premier, there was the question of the city here that was not helping us. For the first time, I sat down with the gentleman called JP. And it was the first time I sat down with him. And then we spoke sex with this matter. And we have raised this issue of environmental design in Cape Town. It is one terrible place, Cape Town, when it comes to environmental design. I visit this place, I go to Hout Bay, I go to Camps Bay, but I also go to Scalo, I also go to Margana, I also go to Kailisha, I also go to Walanga. And you will understand that going to Bishop's Court and going to Kailisha, what it means, and what it means to the people that live there. So we are working on these things. Rather than throwing mud and all that, we have come together. I think I've had about two or three meetings with the Premier of Western Cape putting these things. There are other things, maybe just because we are dealing with them, one cannot begin to shout. That the National Commissioner is leading, especially the structures that they are building, the quality of those structures and all that. Some of those structures, maybe because of desperation, they might be created and fall outside the legislative framework. Let me put one thing. Police and metros are prescribed that there will be oversight by the IGs. But the law enforcement that you see, nobody we know that must have an oversight to that. So that's what the National Commissioner, the Office of, nobody knows. The major problem we had that pushed us there is the shooting and killing of the young police officer, member of the staff here in the city center. And then when you try to find out the legality of the gun, the competence and all that, you don't find it. But those are the issues that, rather than making noise, we are trying to work on them. We hope we'll be successful. Because you can't have a group of 500 people armed and you don't know how I'm going to do the oversight on them. So those are the measures. But we are working on them. I hope we will win on the top. Reaction time, environmental design, I've said that. I think I'll explain about the period of payout of pension. Though I must say to one of my general senators, I'm worried that you guys, you led the way. You know, the DPSA has called for voluntary retirement. Working on the finances, calling on the compensation bill. I'm told that about 5,000 people have taken this off. 3,000 of them, they come from our environment. Yeah. 3,000 of them, they come from our environment. So you let it that way. But that's okay. The problem about that is that it has pulled the head down from 50, 55, 60. So you are taking the craft of experience. You're taking the craft of experience, a 55-year-old, and you are putting a 25-year-old in the system. How long will it take for the 25-year-old to understand the system? It's fine, they are young and all that, but to have a detective that has been there for 30 years is unlike having a detective that has been there for 13 months. So that's one area that we are jealous of it. Commission and I, we have called those people that have applied to say, can't you stay with us and you keep it longer? Yeah, we have. We have really raised it there. Can't you stay, you too, in Nahama? So we are requesting those that are still there to stay with us and keep it a little bit longer to fix things. But also we must understand that amaphoyisa, there must be some comfort and looking after them. Definitely. Their life must improve. Their condition as the members of the South African police must be better than yesterday. So those are the things that if we're going to keep them, there must be progression in their life. There must be progress in their life. You can't stay. I always remember the warrant officer Nobo from Masabatini when he invited them, who stood up and said, and the old man cried and said, "Where my daughter was born when I was warrant officer. She's a graduate today. I'm a warrant officer." Yeah. So really, those are things that this organization will have to understand that the best asset we have are human beings in the organization, and work on that going forward. I guess for you to give birth to a child until that is almost 22, 23 years in one rank, it can't be. So those are the things that we need to work. And I hope the CFO sitting here and the National Commissioner will find in their heart to say, police, they need the embetterment of their condition going forward. You know? So that's what we need. I had the issue about the non-response of the IP. I think, can I look at that? What is the issue dealing with that? Mr. Whitefield, I've answered. Sheikh, you have been raising, honorable member, this bogus talk. I'll look after that. So you have given the bogus doctor to the head of the horse. I think the head of the horse must fly over the focus doctor. the police station. I heard you, Honourable Sheikh, again. You spoke of the Woodstock and death. If I'm not mistaken, now we've got 1,153 police stations in the country. And on the 28th, we are going to a place called Kwamukai in Twalu. For you to reach a police station there, you need 60 rands for the tax. 60 rands. Before, in your head, that you are reporting crime, you will have to hit me, and I'll have to find in the house if I have 60 rands to go and report it. So while Woodstock is in that, there is something that is completely absent somewhere. So those are the things that we need to change. He left without building some of those police stations. He was responsible for building police stations. So we'll have to go back and make sure that our theory that we love is that everybody walks to the police station. That will be our first prize. That everybody walks on the police station rather than seeking for 60 rand to wait for a test that will take an hour before you go to the police station. So That's one area. But what is this spatial planning again? You know, you find the police stations getting deserted. You build a big police station like Gippsloot, but you find that the community is moving away as it grows. Or you find a big community minus a police station, and you find people marching to demand the police station where police were never told that there was development of the people. So this spatial development is one thing that we would really want to work, to say, calculate, tell us, we all work together on those methods going forward. The victim-friendly facility, I heard you read it, Mama Fokin. I think we have explained, but you punch holes on it. We have explained to say we don't have them in all our police stations, though we try to put some depth and all. Indeed, that cannot be adequate. The training, out of 5,000 police that passed last year, we are training 312 of them to be specialists on these matters of gender-based violence. 312 of them are on training. But as I've said, they are young and all that. It will take time for them to understand what is it to sit on the desk of a person that is coming to report the gender-based violence. It's a difficult thing. But is one area where the police alone cannot win on this one. Police alone. One problematic, big problematic area on this gender-based violence are families. Families are giving us headache when they ask people to withdraw the cases. When they say come together and talk and they slaughter the goat and say they are cleaning the everything. We've got long list of withdrawn cases. And really, long list of withdrawn cases, they slaughter the goat, the families come, and to Bakhtabim Boos, Bakhtolila, and all that. So it is that cannot be police pushing that. All of us will have to work on that. The abuse is an abuse. I speak to the police, you speak to the police, two things police can do. They can chase a woman that is coming to report an abuse. It doesn't matter who. Whether it's a father, whether it's a boyfriend, whether it's a husband. Yours is to pick up the case, because if you chase her away, she'll come back the second time. Third time she won't come back. She's dead. The time she's not coming back, she's dead. So we are talking hard on police, part of the training, to say, don't negotiate. Those are the cases that cannot be negotiated. That's one. Two, to pass your judgment on how women dress. So is this the kind of the skirt you were wearing and all that? I tell them that they're not fashionable. So women have a right to dress the way they want to dress. Ours is the right to protect them. But please, we'll have to pick up this with the social development, with the family matters, with everybody, to say families must support the police when they deal with women issues. Last point but one, Chair. Somebody raised the issue of the foreign national. Colleagues, we are facing a problem. Unfortunately, we are chair of the African Union, and we now and again we're scared off when you talk about the criminality of some foreign nationals in the country. We are called xenophobic. The lady that was kidnapped for 167 days from Durban and found in Mpumalanga was kidnapped by four Mozambicans. Four Mozambicans. General Masimula, one Saturday back, buried Kane Malach from Gippsloot, was killed by four foreign nationals. The very last Sunday, I buried the officer in Punyane in Christian, was killed by four foreign nationals. Now, they are not just committing crimes, they are hitting on the state. They are showing the middle finger to the state for them to come here and kill police. So, it might sound, in other countries, killing the police, as the national of the country, you are having a tough, let alone a foreign national, let alone undocumented, coming to kill the police. So, we're facing a serious, that will have to respond. Fortunately, all of those kidnapping, they are arrested, killing the police, gypsies arrested, killing the police in Free State, arrested. But we have buried the police. We've buried them. So it's a call that we really want to make on all of us to say this one, we have to be pushed back. We can't have such a situation. We can't have a situation where our members of the South African Police Service are really murdered by the undocumented foreign people. So I'll stop there for now. There are specific questions, I guess. Most of them will go to the National Commissioner and the like firearms. I agree. This figure for us to allow 600 firearms to be lost, I think, is a hell of a figure. Really, is a hell of a figure. We'll have to work. So, some of the percentages have been changed. That's why they said, for instance, most of the 2% we have changed them to 6. Still low, but 2% is really low. So we have changed them, I'm sure. When we come back with this, those will be the things to work on better percentages, reduction, escaping, those firearms, disciplinary matters, all those are things that we'll have to tie up. Once we put the figures, we'll have to achieve the figures. Simple put, that would be the same. Well, people to answer on vaccines are here, guns are here, and I hope that the National Commission will lead on the job. Very last, I hear that you are no more interested on the first decision. I wanted to pray, if that is okay.
No. I didn't say that you mustn't do the presentation, Minister. I was using that as a standard.
No, but the problem about the chair not taking it on is that everybody has said hallelujah on this thing. It looks like really, but I just wanted to ask from this side to pray about the
Minister, you must do that
you.
Presentation yourself, please.
Thank
you,
Chair.
You mustn't even allow the officials to do it.
Thank
but take that accolade yourself, please.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Well, I'll
thank
hand
you
over to other specifics to the
Commissioner. Thank you,
Commissioner.
Would you like to
come back? The Minister has answered what we speak in one voice, so he has said what was necessary and allowed the Commissioner to present, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner.
No, thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
Sorry, just Honourable Fahu will be changing, I just need to go out for a minute. You can stay there, Honourable Fahu.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Member. Maybe the Minister and the Deputy Minister. maybe it's just important for me to start by expressing my appreciation about the questions, the guidance, the inputs of the honorable members with regard to this subject. The first request I would like to make is for a principled approach that we answer as many questions as we can, but the majority, we put them in written form so that we bring them back to the committee. And others, they can also be included in the report that the minister indicated that will present as far as program one is concerned. The few that are strategic areas. I wanted firstly to confirm the gender-based violence. It was raised as a critical area. Firstly, the questions which the president was supposed to, the president said they must be reopened. I think it was a cold case analysis that was supposed to happen. A total of cases which has been reopened to date is 2,372. And out of the 2,372, 2,000 is from housing. So all those cases are currently under investigation. But we are also at the same time looking into the capacitation of the cold case unit so that they can continue to handle it. Secondly, the training of members in sexual offenses. Several categories, they will include the domestic violence, dealing with vulnerable communities, all the sexual related that is offenses. I think up to this far, as an organization, we have trained 1,979 in sexual offenses. And further to that, the training of members in sexual offenses has now been integrated into the basic policing curriculum. So they will also receive that type of training through basic that is policy, from the training perspective. Then the one honorable member indicated that we needed to indicate what are our challenges, which I think we will do in the next, but there are critical key challenges. Some of them has been raised by the minister. All I wanted to do is just to add implications of those challenges. Firstly, is on the environmental design. I just needed to point out to the committee that it is rapidly deteriorating and it's going on a fast rate. And as it deteriorates, we've got a number of members who have been killed through the environmental design. That needs to be noted. And secondly, I wanted to give the members an example of Alexander. The houses are on the pavement. If a case is reported, the police van will come and stop behind the taxi because there's one road and it goes that side. The vehicles can't pass each other. So the taxi must load until it's finished before the police pass to go and attend to the complaint. And here we are talking about Alpha, Bravo, and Charlie complaints. And if the environmental design is on rapid deterioration, I think this target, instead of us achieving it, getting worse and worse. Therefore,
I think it's an area where we also want to call for the support of the committee. And in our view, this is a special development area, which is a mandate of municipality. Secondly, there's also a rapid deterioration of the moral fiber. And the minister has added to talk about the families. But the minister spoke about the recent killing of children by a father. But we've got cases where a father impregnated his own child. Yes. And we've got a case where a father raped her own child, his own child. So I think this rapid deterioration of moral fiber needs to be stopped somewhere. We need an intervention, and it's more societal. But I just need to say there's hope just starting from last year when we listened to the committee. The committee first spoke about the cluster intervention and meeting, which I think now also supported by the minister. But what we also emphasized there was the inter-cluster interaction, which I still want to propose and request, that beyond the engagement with the cluster, if the inter-cluster proposal could also continue. But then, I also then want to add my own proposal there. In the SONA, the president has pronounced the review of the National Crime Prevention Strategy. And the committee also spoke about the possibilities of a summit or some kind. I think we also need to bring all of society together in trying to deal with this particular problem so that we can see if there's no change that we can. Then on the support side, we will make that part and parcel of the presentation, but we finalized the integrated resource strategy, which the organization did not have. But as we're speaking, the support team is here in the Western Cape. We are going to review the total resource plan of the Western Cape after the several interventions. And we will then do that following the four provinces, the big four. We're going to be dealing with Western Cape, Gauteng, KZN, and Eastern Cape. Then from there, we'll be following towards all the provinces. Then I think what we then need to be looking at, which we also need the support of the committee, is the service delivery efforts, which we're trying, but we are overtaken by the pace of the special development. And there's just a risk that we also need to be assisted to manage. Most of the informal settlements are now on top of the pipeline. And you know the pipelines, they start from gas, petrol, diesel, and water. And there's a recent arrest that was effected where people were trying to open a valve and gas was about to come. Only if they were not arrested before that happened, I'm sure the whole of that informal settlement would have been in issue and other areas that are nearby. So we just need maybe a collective approach to this thing of the special development. But the rest of the target, we will ask the committee to allow us to present the reviewed approach, because all of them, they will need to be reviewed, but we're going to present them first to the minister. And when we come back, I think we shall have reviewed quite a lot of them. Then our other challenge has been contract management. We did design a contract management strategy. We now have a plan that says by what time must a specific contract be renewed or get another contract, which area, so that we have those particular contracts. So that's part and parcel of what will then be presented. But the other question...
Just a second, please. General Sithole, I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Yes.
But Honorable Whitfield has consistently been raising the matter of targets. Am I correct? And the performance plan vis-a-vis looking at the target set that so I think that the counselor or the other, we must respond in writing to all the rules. Is that correct? You sent me an email regarding this.
Chair, the email was regarding strategic plans and specifically the targets. But it's been an ongoing issue. It's been a discussion from the first presentation. I think that the general is aware of it. The committee is limited in terms of writing the strategic plan. That's not our responsibility. But, you know, it would be a great concern, for example, as the minister indicated, the 600-plus police firearms lost or stolen is a quote-unquote hell of a figure. And it would be a concern if we constantly repeat the target. That's just a general point. Whether it's IFED or SAPS or the Hawks, we just need to spend time as a committee making sure that not just the improvement on existing targets, but that we revise targets when necessary.
Can you
hear
that, please? Thank you.
So
the Minister and General, could you just hear that, please? Thank you, General Sithole.
Sorry for interrupting you.
Thank you, Chair. We will respond, but with for a just procedure, we'll take them through the minister, and we will then bring them back. But we will review them, and they will have to talk to the situation and the demands that you will be seeing that is on the ground. But also, Chair, we are presently in a process of dealing with the online policing strategy. I'm sure you must have seen few launches. We launched the SAPS app, and recently we've launched the Ember app for missing children. But we are now working on the safer cities for safer city technology. But we will need the support of the committee there, because there's legislation that will come into play. Like, for instance, internationally, they're using facial recognition and is working. But our laws here have not yet allowed it. So I think those are legislative requirements. So I think that is the type of support which we will need. Then finally, I can just mention priorities for noting, which are still right, that is running from the operational plan. One of them is the one that has been pronounced on SONA by the President, the establishment of the tourism reserve, that is police service. Then we are also working on the Royal Police Reserve, that where we involved the traditional leaders in the traditional policing concept.
Sorry, General, Minister, we thank you for your participation, but sorry, man, we were waiting for you to do your December presentation. We were expecting you to do it something.
All right. Thank you very much, Minister. Good luck. We are awaiting your presentation in the House. Yeah, the Sonder debate. We're looking forward to you. Listening to you. Thank you, Minister.
You may continue.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just wrapping up. Then, in order to enhance the investigation capacity, we are doing what we call the restoration of the year of the detective, and it's gonna have a series of capacity beef up.
on the investigation, including the review of the total resource plan for all the investigation families, including that is DPCI. Then we also workshop the cybercrime strategy, and we've been sharing that with other countries. I think it's above 70%. It's just also for the committee to note, so that you can then be able to work with us and support us. But these are priorities that are running from the AOP. At the right time, we'll bring them here. And Chair, I would then request little time for the Deputy National Commissioner to talk to questions that are in the environment. We're not going to get to the details. There could be few that can be responded to by the Divisional Commissioners at operational level. If I get your permission, I can give them the floor.
General Patoli, we don't want each unit to respond today. Honourable members, we want each unit to respond to. Honourable members, would you like or could you highlight which unit? Honourable, what's it?
Chairperson, it depends. I mean, we don't know what questions they're going to respond to, and then what questions we're going to get in writing. But I mean, it's very dissatisfying, the responses that we've had so far, because every time we meet, we feel a bit rushed. That's fine. We put our questions, and then we get the responses in writing, and that's a limitation of time. We need to then find a way to have two committee meetings a week, or we need to meet after sittings that don't run on until 8 o'clock at night, obviously. But we need to find a way that we can have an engaging dialogue, so that when there are follow-up questions, it's very difficult to then put follow-up questions in writing and to continue the conversation by email. So, for example, the issue of buckle swaps for remissions, fine. There's no reason why we can't have a discussion about why CAP, the minister, on behalf of the committee, can go and promote the Forensic Procedures Bill to run concurrently with the investigation into a national DNA database, which is ridiculous, as my personal opinion. But just, I'm just giving you that context. I asked questions about the forensic lab. We must wait for a week. We must get the responses. But if those buckle swabs cannot be processed through the labs, we need to know if the maintenance contracts haven't been done. It doesn't mean anything if you take buckle swabs from those prisoners that are being released, if the labs aren't working because they've only spent 61% of their budget because the contracts haven't been renewed. And so it really depends what kind of answers we're going to get. And if there are really no answers today, as the Minister said, an entire program, no answers, because we've got no answers. The worst performing program by far, not one answer. Maybe it's a waste of time to get the answers here. But this is what these meetings are for.
Honourable Richard, I absolutely support you on this one. A number of these questions we've asked those questions before. Now, it doesn't satisfy the committee to just say, we'll give you responses to that. That would work. There are options. I could limit you to 3 questions each. That also doesn't work. I wouldn't want to suppress members to say you all have 3 questions each. The one solution is that we need more than one day to meet. We need a Tuesday and a Wednesday, because if the presentation is so long, I have very limited time for responses. Because the presentation is long, the questions are long, and the responses are not forthcoming. And when it comes to the responses, then we start rushing for time. And that is not a good way to manage a meeting. Then we do assessment of reports for the sake of doing it. Just to tick the box to say we've done our work, there's compliance from the committee. But next week we come, we get a presentation, we have the exact same question.
So I would like us to have a day where there's no presentation, where we must have responses. And where you then have a follow-up to those responses. We cannot just get through, go through the motions, because going through the motions actually not helping me much. Because the number of the questions we are asking today are questions which we asked last year, which last year we promised to be attended to via written responses. So if you were satisfied through the, by your written response, you would not have asked them again today. This is a new year. We cannot be repetitive. We have to get through matters, deal with them, and be satisfied that we have received adequate responses. Honorable Faku,
I think she has captured me to say that we must not allow any responses at this stage. We need to have another day that will set aside to just interact with that. So, because everything that we wanted to hear is part of the report now, I don't know what the specific commissions are going to respond to what we have. The National Commissioner has raised the issue. They are outstanding from the report. So let us give them time. Let us have days, maybe next week or 2 days in a week, so that we can interact. Ours is not to gain political scores when it comes to this department. It's for us to make South Africa safer for our communities. So, Chairperson, I would request really that we adjourn the meeting and have the meeting maybe 2 days next week or the other days that they are available. Thank you.
Honorable members, I think enough has been said about the festive season. We don't need that today. You have been told that the baton letter needs a report. So if you could give me the report on the baton letter, I saw there is a presentation. So, honorable members, you have a response. Remember, we said we want an update. There are other matters with three petitions from the speaker, which we, honorable Dean, we still have three outstanding petitions which we received from the speaker. And remember, when I receive something from the speaker, I must respond to the speaker. Okay, so can we just ensure that that is also done? We'll arrange two meetings next week. One for Tuesday and one for Wednesday. Another matter, please. I didn't have time. We must get a venue. Just try and get a venue. The other matter I wanted to raise when the minister was still here, but then we have confidence that you could take this matter. The committee secretary, the content advisor, and the chair of this committee. We are receiving complaints from the public regarding this firearm application on a daily basis. I received 4 emails, the committee secretary, the content advisor. I told them, stop sending it to me. No, really, man, this is almost as if I'm now being I'm being harassed. It happens on a daily basis. If I contact it, I don't know what the secretary and the content advisor is doing about it, because they're sending us the processing of this firearm license, which is a major problem. And there also appears to be a problem at the firearm registry. Now, if these letters of complaint continue, I don't know what to do. Can you please look at this expired license application? It begins to create the impression that the firearm amnesty is going to be a problem for us. Now, either I have to continue ignoring these letters at my own peril, See, if I ignore these letters, they're not going to backfire on me. They've been addressed to me as a chief. They go to the political secretary, so they're on record. And as soon as somebody's almost building a case, you know, they're bombarding me with all these letters. Tomorrow I cannot deny that I received these letters before they think. Put on writing, on record, and it's also on record. I said, you must just develop a standard response because really now I don't want to be anymore. Please make sure that these writings are processed. And can you please respond to the applicant? How do I respond to applicants? It's a real parliamentary talk. We are being aware. If I feel like that, then I don't know how to talk to him and being aware. I receive really. Some days I even receive up to 60. Somewhere they put our emails on a database. No, we don't mind, but then really, if I receive the same letter on firearms and I receive 10 different letters from on the same matter on one day, would you really be impressed? On the same matter. Do you understand? No, really. It's a letter that I can't manage it, really. One day I received almost on the same matter, 20 emails. It's abnormal. Honorable Tablan?
Because I don't know whether we agreed, now apparently we have, agreed on, you know, meeting, you know, answering session, if that's the term. But if we do, may I just ask the person, can we, you know, apart from only the questions, maybe also some, let's call it a turnaround strategy, is needed. What? The police must come inform us as a department. How are they going to turn around, let's call it, this underperformance in certain areas or not reaching the targets or whatever? Because it's no use just meeting again and get answers and we don't know where we're going or where we're heading to rectify the police. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. I'll give the one last
General.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Sorry that I have to request just a minute with regard to the question that was raised regarding the bogus doctors. I need to be indicating that it is not in my norm that whenever I have missed a call, I do not respond. Maybe I can say that people can phone me at 12 o'clock in the evening. I will be able to respond. If for some reason during the time when we are in sessions, my phone might be with somebody else that I normally give out to handle, I apologize if that could have been the case. But just hinting on this case that we are dealing with, we have got three faces of the same case. Normally, feedback is given to the complainant. But there are other allegations that have been made surrounding this. On Monday, I was in KwaZulu-Natal with regard to other matters that we are dealing with. I think the committee will be aware that Etequin is one of those that we are dealing with. Among them is this one that I was dealing with. It is among the top 30 prioritized cases that we are dealing with, this one of our bogus doctors. It is intertwined with other matters. Some other people may know about an individual that is involved, but there are others that are in the middle that may not have necessarily been mentioned. I have impressed on the public prosecutor of the specialized commercial environment that can we separate these specific matters and leave the rest of the investigation. So the matter itself is receiving attention, I have got three groupings that are investigating the matter because of counter allegations. There are two sides of the very same coin. So I just needed to indicate that the matter is receiving attention, and that where there may have been miscommunication, we apologize. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Gim, I'm going to be giving you last turn, and then General, and then I'm going to close the meeting. For impact to be continued next week. Not to be having a new meeting, to be continued. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, you're meaning that the two items that were not presented will be presented next week?
Yes.
Okay. No, I thought the meeting is being adjourned for next week.
No, we are saying that you must, whatever you want to do, do your remarks here.
Okay.
You are happy for the whole.
The minister suggested that we adopt a particular approach on the issue of trade, and I think the meeting agreed to that. And the next item was the issue of person, which was more to update you, which I think we should have agreed that it will be done and we do away with. And the third item was the issue of the festive which members spoke to even before a presentation was made, and they were very happy with what they have observed, and therefore that matter is disposed of the agenda, so it's not long. We don't need to go and do it again, because members have read and they're very happy, they made the comments. And I think it's done. So the only item still outstanding are the responses that must come from Program 1 and other programs that need an approach. I think Honorable Sarah Blanche even propose that, you know, in some of the things you don't need to come and respond to specific questions, but to say with these challenges, this is how we are going to deal with it, and it will help us to achieve the following with regard to issues that we are supposed to do, which I think is a fair proposal, which we are proposing with, because indeed some of the challenges that are there, there is a process internally to look at how best we can become more efficient in dealing with the things that are a bottleneck for us achieving what we are intending to. And, I think that's what I can say, but also appreciate the moment that you have afforded us to interact with yourself as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gil. General.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. In actual fact, the Deputy Minister has already wrapped up on our behalf, and we also extended our appreciation. Maybe I can just add on behalf of the South African Police Service to say this year we'll be listening to the marching orders of the committee, and we will run. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Members. This is a start to the year, which is going to be a year of intensified kind of oversight, which is required. And if it means that we need two meetings per week, we'll do that. The cooperation from the police and the ministry and the community, we appreciate that. Again, we thought that, you know, there's always complaints about it.
that you shouldn't keep those just-to-season patients under the cross. That's why we want to keep the minister job, we and the minister. So that we comment publicly about it as a committee. We must issue a statement. And all political parties should issue their statements, because when it comes, don't forget that we also want to do motions in the House. So when we do our statements and motions in the House, I want all political parties to also be able to comment on it. Not just to ask you questions about all your failures. Lastly, honorable members, I want us to interrogate the program. Our program, quarterly program, must be fit for purpose. If it is no longer fit for purpose, it means I have to go back to the House chair and make changes. Then can you, I'm always asking the different political parties to give us inputs on what you want on the program. Look at the program, evaluate the program. We're still at the beginning of the year, but the year goes by very quickly, and I would really like us to emphasize and focus and just be very strategic in our engagement with dear.
Yeah, no, Chair, I don't want to, I just wanted to indicate that we will not have a problem with the request you are making, that the item on the festive season should still be presented. We are comfortable that we will prepare for that presentation for the next meeting. Thank you.
And
the
respond
method,
this will be an ongoing matter until it's resolved. So even if we don't take it this week, the committee asks that it be an ongoing report and tell us as well. So I'm just honoring the commission that we do. If that takes care of the business of today, the meeting is adjourned. Good luck for those who are participating in the debate. Honorable Kunabal is very well. Good luck again.